his way back.
August 2nd, 2012, February.
He's not here today, but on the ROV inspection, I believe they're doing that today.
Yes.
I don't know what the latest is. I know they were dissipating more. So they're spilling, Cammy, spilling to the south. Or John Day.
They just washed it, swept their patterns.
Oh, they did it yesterday.
I got an email from, it was supposed to be today, but I got an email from Miro. Oh, no.
Right, so, I assume that occurred.
It's happening today. They did the south one yesterday.
The next one is on B2FGE. John was going to schedule a meeting with the region.
That's still outstanding.
Still outstanding. Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if I missed it right there. What was that for again? That was for.
We're just going to look at the DSM channel and the orifices.
And go, hey, it's still the same. It hasn't changed.
It's been kind of low priority for me.
Yeah, I'd say.
What?
It's fine. Lower.
I'll go there you tomorrow. Go. But check it out tomorrow and you cross it out for us.
Okay.
Take the pictures, bring them back to us.
I got it.
Excellent.
It would be good, though, for people that aren't familiar with the system, though, to get out there a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Trevor wants to swim the channel, so.
Yeah, is it dewater? It's not dewater yet.
We'll call him there. He'll send that up for you.
We could look at it after
I'd like to. I would like to, really.
The other item on here is an Erdic trip for John Day. John was going to set up a special fitter wig to review Sean Askelson's trip report and to discuss low summer spill options.
Have we gotten Sean Askelson's trip report yet?
Yeah, what is this?
My memories are a little hazy on this one, too. But
then let's just scratch it.
We had, well.
This is for low flow.
Yeah, this was for low flow. Right. Emergency low flows, you know.
What do you do?
Based on the last trip.
Right.
So
this is from the last trip, his trip report from the last Erdic trip, which was. So this one in December of last year?
I was going to say that was.
Something like that, or I don't know. It's been a year.
It was December, February. Yeah, I was right around that time.
I think it was, because I was down there.
We need that vulnerable basin right. Order. Right. Glory.
Yeah.
Right. It's a three-part trip that had us running around like, well, that was actually.
Do you guys feel a need to.
That was in March.
Discuss that?
Well, if they're going to go on that road in the future.
If they want to change operations, then they're going to have to.
We have a spill pattern set up, and it goes all the way down to low.
We were testing what 150 was. I think what we previously
tested. We've gone all the way down to 80.
Yeah,
I think we're looking at powerhouse versus a no spill versus one.
When do you shut off spill? I think is the issue.
Yeah.
Or is it so bad that you probably shouldn't even be doing it at all? Some days there's no minimum, and others there are, I think.
For me, it's a question of egress versus spill.
Right.
You have higher survival spill to turn out for egress, so which one's going to be the trade-off? And I think that could look pretty hard at that.
Yeah, John Day seems to be the most relevant dam for looking at that issue, but are there additional dams where there would be like a special like low-flow consideration?
Bottom is the only one we've got. We've
had a 50K in there for forever, so the minimum. And then McNary is really no low flow, and the Dallas is the same with the wall. I don't think you're going to hit a minimum.
If you get that low, we've got bigger problems.
Oh, yeah, we got problems. But, I mean, we can pass it through bay one or two with containment walls there, so that's not an issue. McNary, you can with one bay open. TSW, it tends to stay in the middle of the river and run down fine, so.
What started this discussion?
It was the trip, and we were looking, working on different 20% spills. And we went down at least 20%, maybe less.
Can I fill in the middle for you?
Yeah, we went.
What, Tom?
I'm saying BPA was interested in this in case below.
Exactly, yeah. And so we looked at those, and then we kind of went out of the way.
Do they know something?
They like the looks of it.
We don't.
Yeah.
This is like long-term concerns because we have another 2001.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what it?
That's what they're saying.
Just the long-term forecast when the drought
ready
comes.
Is in place.
Well, this is when the TSW gets
versus completely shutting down spill like happened in 2001. What would you do?
They all have to plan for
yeah.
make it work.
Is there a better operation we could have done? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I mean, we were looking at trying to make the TSW work. That doesn't work at low flow, so you end up putting you go to the north end and spill there because that's where it wants to go anyway. And then
you're back to a summer north pattern, which we used to do forever, which isn't bad survival.
It's not bad as long as you didn't get down too low, and it just totally
stops.
It goes in circles. So I think that's what you're looking for. Is that really bad?
So it sounds like we need a special fitter way to.
Or an early trip to actually establish this, because I don't think we're going to do it sitting in a.
Well, the other thing you want to do is, you're at a point where you're going to say, okay, if you did shut off all spill, then you're going to have to take a look at turbine survival versus guidance
and then take a look.
Oh, sure. And then the problem is you're going to say, so spillway survival is going to have to be down to below this point.
Well, you don't have that kind of data, so you're going to have to do that in the model.
Well, what I was going to say is, what you could do is do a modeling run, say, if we assume low flows, guidance is going to be this roughly, you're going to push with the turbines, turbine survival is this, the JBS is this, so to equal out, you could say the theoretical survival of the spill would have to be this to be at least a push, and then you could say, do we think that's something that could happen?
Simpass would be, you do simpass, that's sort of the exercise. Yeah. But you have to establish what the ugly, degrees of ugly from the spill pattern.
Well, obviously, just go through and say, like, if you find that you have to have survival worse than, let's say, 72% for the spillway, that at least tells you how bad you think it has to look.
Sure, absolutely.
So at least give you a starting point of saying, like, hey.
So the purpose of this would then just to, so that we have something in hand.
Yeah.
That if in the event that 2001 occurs.
Which we will then ignore and then go through countless meetings like we did in 2001 and,
So John Day's survival through turbine was 77%. 77% for Chinook, so 95% for the spillway. So I don't think we're making up for that with good egress conditions.
So based on that, is it worth it to have a meeting?
But that was 2010. That's a pretty low number.
To what extent were those egress conditions?
Yeah, let's not try to make decisions sitting here.
Starting out by like reviewing the last trip would be a good start.
Yeah, then looking at the data that we have.
It's about a 5%.
The way I read this is it says is to discuss and then develop the next steps. So that's what this is.
I'll send out Ask Wilson's report. I'll talk to him when.
Yeah, send it out, and then I guess we can set up a delightful meeting to figure out where we want to go forward, how it's going to work.
Okay.
Yeah, because I need more meetings.
I figured you did.
Yeah, so I'm just giving you
more. I take that egress to the spillway over that.
Okay, so moving on. Are there any...
The problem is that's a result of bad egress.
Right.
That's true. Any additions to the agenda? Anything you guys want to add based on what's on here?
Are we going to talk about last year's survival studies? Because you sent out the route specific stuff. Let's go look at that. We still don't have 30-40 broke out yet for John Day.
Oh, for the routes?
Yeah.
You said spillway.
Yeah, you said they're both lumped in spillway. I didn't see 30-40 broken out. Yeah. And then we'll have some questions about how you got over 100% on that.
Let's bring that when we talk.
Yeah, let's do all that once.
Yeah.
Bonneville.
Do I have that on here?
Yeah.
I know it's on here.
And it does.
We talked about it. I mean, I sent you my recommendation.
Yeah.
And you just kind of blew me off.
You didn't send it to the rest of us? I'm kind of curious.
Something about, we'll just do
I gave,
fish
I gave it to
water, 100% survival, and standard error of 0000000000000. What else do you want?
Yes, and survival for individual fish.
Yes.
If it lands, it's like, okay.
It's our new plan.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a start.
Okay.
I was looking for infinitely precise and accurate data for every route of passage, for every flow, for every time of day.
So you're planning to upgrade compass, you say?
What's that?
You plan to upgrade compass then?
Yeah, really? Would. You guys would just laugh at me. That was what I was looking for anyway.
Okay. So, obviously, Lori's not here.
I think the spillway stilling basin cleanup is going according to the schedule.
Yeah, I have an update from her.
Oh, you?
Okay. Just brief. What she said, the spillway is...
on track.
It's on track. It's should the contract should be on the... will be on the street, and the award will be completed this FY. It's got to be, it's funded this year, so.
Is she going to be here?
No, she's on vacation.
Everyone took vacation this time.
We need to talk about that Erdic trip. In September. What I'm hearing is that she wants to do that work on top of the two turbine.
Yeah, that's what she's.
Issues too, which is okay. It's just that we're. Last time we did three things at once, it did not work.
It just doesn't
work.
Plus, it's turbine stuff. We can just ignore that.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, she said here that's the week of the 17th is the TSD.
Could you still have to sign up for turbine?
For the turbine trip. I assume that's Ice Harbor?
Yes.
That's the week of the 17th.
So, week of the 17th, Ice Harbor, Bonneville. Actually, the key motivator for that trip is Bonneville first or second powerhouse turbine evaluation. And there will then the second part of it's going to be Ice Harbor new runner.
Another one?
Two. It's going to be the second iteration adjustable first look at the. At the runner, so that's not a real rigorous sort of thing. We're just going to be looking at it and going, yeah, it's okay, or you know, run some beads, die, and bubbles through it. Probably about the same thing for Bonnie too. Really, we'll get first impressions of what we're dealing with, but it won't be a quantitative analysis of all the scoring data.
I'm in the wrong meeting.
So glad they like that. So those may not be too bad.
Yes.
But I'm thinking, at least from our perspective, we're probably going to send myself and Trevor down there and Ed as well to cover the whole thing.
It's in the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
The 17th it was.
17th of September is what's scheduled.
The 17th of September, but they're talking about going down on Sunday and staying through Saturday. And
Gary, you're recommending that we do it a different...
If we do it all at once, we're going to have to... Trevor and I can cover it. I just know about other guys running from place to place unless they don't care about them, but you know, that's fine. But.
Well, I can miss Ice Harbor Turbine, so, and the Bonneville and then this.
I'm trying to avoid Sunday travel, and I just got through with that. Like
it's good for
two
you.
2-hour pay period is
it's good for you.
Yeah, it's good for me. Well, it's true. I can take time off.
Well, she said in here, I hope to spend time on the Bonneville spillway.
What's that?
She says in her email, she says it's for TSP, but hope to spend time on the Bonneville spillway.
So is that she's thinking maybe like adding that in as like an additional
hope to. Yeah, that's
she's bringing pizza and beer. I'll work there till after 5. So
Adrio's not on that one.
No, that's the problem.
And neither is Wilson.
I know.
He brings sausage.
So
I think it's planned.
So I guess should.
I think we can do it. Question here is week of 17th enough?
Yeah. You got really, you know, I mean, unless you want to push people outside of sorts for one thing or another, you've got three good work days.
Well, is she talking about modifying the spill pattern of those rocks and that could have an impact on
waiting for things to happen?
I'll be sitting there watching that whole process.
Right.
Yeah, honestly, I think if we did travel down on Sunday, I'd be willing to do Sunday, but I'm not going to stick to super late.
Me either. I'd go Sunday, but I wouldn't stay late.
No, I'd either fly out late Thursday or super early Friday. Probably do late Thursday. I'd rather sleep on the plane and sleep in my own bed that night.
Yeah, my Friday's my day off. I'm going to stick to that one. So
I'll see you on the plane.
No, I'm going to stay down there, I think, for a couple of
days. It's birding season.
What was that thinking? Good time. What do you think?
Is it alligator hunting season, too?
Yeah, that's
it. He's an next gator.
I used my rental car for that.
He's going to be the next discovery reality show.
Mermaid.
I had one hanging on my ankle last time I was down there. Kind of all of a sudden, I felt a tug. I looked down, there's an alligator. He's got a hold of my shoe.
Gary got bit by an alligator.
obviously not a very big one.
That's good. I almost stepped on him. Didn't even know he was there. Picked him up, carried him back to the truck, and took a picture.
Did you have a handling permit for that?
Where was it?
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the other issue that Lori provided a brief update on, and I'm not real familiar with this. This is the spill alarm associated with the Dow spill patterns.
Oh yeah.
It was adjusted to a 4-bay of 158 feet. So I guess the current patterns, that's where they're based on a 4-bay elevation of 158 feet.
Okay.
So the spill patterns. I assumed a 1,500 CFS per foot of gate opening, which corresponds to a four-bay of 160 feet.
So we're actually spilling a little less than we think we are?
This has recently created several problems with meeting spill requirements. Yeah. The difference in volume between 158 and 160 can be 5 kcfs for large gate openings, and a gas cap, the requirement, plus or minus 2 kcfs.
So where is this at? What's this?
The Dalles.
That's the Dalles. The
so it was calibrated for 160, but we're actually at 158.4, so we're spilling a little different. What is the remedy she proposes, or does she?
I think she's working on adjusting the spill.
It's pretty small. Yeah.
Does she have a measurement of the difference in percent, like 5 versus 40? Or
at 160, it's 1,497 per opening, or per foot. So it's really only a 3 CFS difference.
Per bay?
Per foot of gate opening.
So somehow along the way they've got their calibration wrong, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think
by a foot and a half or something like that.
Are we going to remind them of Blondo?
So.
How does that happen?
At the next featherweight, we'll have her.
We'll get an update.
She explained it to me over the phone. And
well, good that she's looking.
So yeah. Then we'll just spill longer to September then.
Oh, that's over.
Yeah. So that was all. That was for Lori's. If there was anything.
It's not nearly as big as Bonneville.
Oh, Bonneville, that was, yeah.
You're spilling 50. Actually,
oh, you're spilling 25.
Oops!
What a survival.
That sucked.
I've heard nothing from the Avian folks.
Yeah, no surprise. But they're madly re-scrambling to do stuff. I think Skippy did do.
I guess there's a meeting
Monday
afternoon at the Dalles.
That's inland, yeah.
Oh, this is not inland?
This is estuary.
This is estuary.
Well, so guys, there's Mal here.
By that dock. Sort of
now we're going to cut it up.
It started getting thick.
I know who has it, though. So.
The dock.
But I don't recognize these names.
Which Rockport
and Schmidt. Okay.
Except for what Newport wants to keep for tourists.
Oh, Paul Schmidt. Okay.
Are you kidding me?
So we'll move down to the downside. JSAT's transmitter downsize.
Reduce.
I don't know, Gary. You're probably more involved than I am in the Avian stuff. Any updates on Mount Hure or anything?
Yeah,
like
Mount Hure's. I mean, I don't have the numbers in my head, but the tern. There was a fairly large colony of terns there that nested this year.
And it got cold. And it got cold. A lot of them left.
Yeah, but they're still
they still hung on.
They're
still for a number.
And so I think it was a success as far as there were chicks raised, and they you know, it was actually a pretty good deal. And for an island that was just built, one first year, it was actually a pretty good success. The estuary, is this terns or cormorants? I guess it's both.
This is both.
They killed several gulls this year to minimize the impacts of gulls on terns. So terns actually had a successful nesting season this year down there, as far as I know, as of a week or two ago. So that's a first, from last year, a change from last year. Eagles have been harassing them, but as of a few weeks ago, they started to focus their efforts elsewhere, apparently, so maybe MERS or something offshore, I don't know. But so that kind of eased up, and that allowed the terns and both terns and cormorants to actually.
Should we put a permit in to shoot some eagles?
So well, that's, you know, I mean, that's the next step for the slippery slope that they're on. But that's all I know. The idea of keeping cormorants out of a portion of their colony worked well. They put some fencing up and harassed that area, and it worked. So, but the cormorants hung around in the estuary. They didn't go off to some other area. Most of the ones with radio tags, the satellite tags, were in the immediate area or in Willow Bay or Grace Harbor for the most part. So, and those were only short forays, and those birds came back. So, big question, really, in my mind, is whether or not we can actually push the cormorants away from the estuary. That's going to be a real. And there were colonies of cormorants, or I shouldn't call them colonies, but they were nesting
repairs and setup on the Astoria Melville Bridge, as well as some of the other piles in the area. You know they're going to do that along with the Brants, Cormorants. So, and they had Miller Sands had some nesting white pelicans this year, a colony that's set up down there. And there's hundreds of brown pelicans hanging around on East Sand Island.
At the tip of it up by the rock.
Yeah,
the
rocky section. Yeah, they're just loafers. So. Yeah. And that's about all I know about it. Next year is really the big push for terns. And I know that they're still looking at, and I don't think there's any breakthroughs yet, but I was at least encouraged that the Corps is still looking at Hayward Regional Shoreline Park down in San Francisco Bay as a potential colony site, which would be good because it's a estuary, you know, it's a marine resource-based location, which would be good, I think.
The one take-home you can do is, I saw in the SCT that they still have the pile study. It'd be nice to get some sort of evaluation, determine what's going on with that.
Yeah, and we've advised to cease and desist on the avian side of that. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, it just means
but it's still on the SCT spreadsheet.
It's on the SCT spreadsheet for a million something. There was talk of trying to do an evaluation for false Chinook.
Yeah, this is habitat improvement is all really is. But not for an avian standpoint.
No.
There's just too few of the piles
that need to be removed.
Yeah. That's what more products in. That'll be better.
Better habitat.
Yeah. So, can you just get an update on that? Because it sounds like they're doing a shift, and which I think could change its prioritization in the SCT budget.
Yeah, it could. I think there's not much.
Yeah, if you're going to say it's false Chinook habitat down the estuary, that's going to get a pretty low score level for me.
Same for us. Yeah, so. We've given up on that buy-up requirement in terms of.
Tell the Corps that they seem to have a different opinion on that.
Well, you know, there's no credit.
I'll get an update out.
We found it. We did it somewhere.
Make that an action item. Splash the water. Splash it. An update on the pile.
It's there.
6% pile like study.
It's got to be there. Come on. Can't prove us not. Prove I'm wrong.
You don't know there, right?
It's a new strategy. Prove that's not there.
Okay.
Pile
like study.
Pile like study. Because right now, I don't know who's in charge of it. I don't see it here. It's on the SCT spreadsheets. I'm trying to figure out where it's going.
Which one's that?
I'll find out.
Pile like study.
Oh, no.
Because I didn't see it here, but I see the SCT spreadsheet. I'm just going to houses being covered.
Yeah, it's kind of separate.
Trying to move it up. Do I see that on
there? Well, technically, it's a study. It's SRWG, but...
Yeah.
And now for Waste Nothing and Last Forever.
That's right. Did you say waste or way?
Okay.
Both. So let's see. They're in the, what they're, I think the focus for the, right now is really on the manufacturing side, making sure that T's are crossed, I's are dotted. They're waiting on the, I think the next version of the ASIC comes in, I think September. So
okay.
Hopefully that will be the final version. Testing, so everything's still on schedule for the next phase. The Lamprey, we're looking to start funding that this year, but middle of this month. So
you're gonna have to change the name to the NOCM tag.
Yeah, Sean's already changed the name. He's calling it the JLATS.
I always wonder if you can do that.
The what?
Juvenile Lamprey.
Juvenile Lamprey.
Juvenile
Lamprey.
Okay. So.
Okay.
Any questions on that?
Since you've got a name, you know you're going to be
sitting there. I'm okay with that.
Sound good?
Okay.
So we're on schedule.
We're on schedule. We're on schedule.
13.
Yeah.
We'll have.
Yep. We'll have specs on 13.
We can start all these performance standard studies all over again because we'll have 14.
Isn't there another study that's going to compare this to the current tag or something?
Yeah, we were going to have Daniel make, somewhere 300 to 500 prototypes, and 13 release them with one of the performance standard.
He'll be able to put them in our hands in the spring of 13.
Yes.
Are you going to try to get anything else out of that study, or is it just looking at the tags?
Just looking at the tags. It's a little on the point. I mean, you know, we'll have detection.
Will those be active tags, or are they sham?
They will. No, they will be active.
Fully functional
tags. They will function similarly to the current tag.
Great.
That's been the plan.
You'll be able to retire. One more year and you're done. Just retire.
Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
The father of JSATs.
Brad Sats.
Brad Sats. I like that.
I'll put that as a suggestion for
you. Yeah, there you go.
So you notice he's not saying no.
Yeah, he's going, hey! Right here. Just plastic liner in it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be worth $1,000 award.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good thing.
Okay, so anything else on that one?
No.
Okay, adult pet. Let me find Natalie's.
Joy. This is our favorite subject.
All peaches and cream here. We're going to have this thing done. Terry's going to put the baling twine in. Baling twine. Duct tape.
Plug into the wall.
Cease and desist.
Did you really?
No. I should have sent you my comments. I didn't do that. I just sent them to Sean. And Natalie. And we took out the one comment that basically said,
you're done.
What is that? Where's that music coming from?
I don't know. It's quite nice, though. I feel like I'm on an elevator.
It's not me.
It's not Mark.
Celia's?
Where's Natalie?
It's not me.
I believe she's at John Day.
Oh, so who's giving this report?
I am.
Oh, okay.
She has a few bullets on this.
Elevator music to sue this. This is a new
strategy.
We'll
have a discussion. I'm sure. So, schedule. See, the team's working on the 90% alternative report.
Jasmine.
This is for the long term.
I think it just came out too, the 90%, didn't it?
The 90% just, well, no, it's, it came out in June, July, early July, I think, wasn't it?
It was like mid-July.
Mid-July, the comment was.
Okay, so this isn't, these aren't updates, July. These are reminders.
Yes. Those comments are were due.
They were due?
They were due 30th of July.
It didn't change much from the 60%, so if you comment on that, then you're good.
Yeah, if we comment on that, which we did.
So that was you said the 60%?
It was exactly the 60%, really.
It was pretty close, yeah. Okay. There were some changes. Not much.
Refinements. Okay.
Mainly be, yeah.
Yeah, no, she doesn't have a whole lot in here.
Did she make a comment on her comments yet, or is she looking at
I mean, it's.
She's
got four bullets in here.
And you're not one of
them. Still
one says the buyoff is due December 2012.
So there's nothing to talk about because there's nobody here to talk about it, too.
There's an update on the temporary stuff. The Sean contacted.
Kind of fit with meeting. He brought him here anyway.
I don't think he's heard back from him. He's been out. The guy's been on the field.
No, he did hear back from him on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Ryan and Howard Shaw are calling back and said they're willing to do that to look into the logistics if they're going to be able to have the time and how much it's going to cost and that sort of thing. So more to come. But the plan is to have that in just in one work period.
Oh, put it
by 2013, we detected tags going through Dallas at 80% efficiency. So. Or greater.
80%?
80%
yeah.
Or greater.
Oh, I was going to say 80%. Really sitting in your goal state. It's in a high bar there, huh?
Yeah. Wand in the water with you know, Trevor hanging on weird.
I got two fish. That's 8%.
So, for the, you're talking about adult pets, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, this is the Dalles adult pet.
So, as far as the December bullet that Natalie has, I mean, that December date was from the buy-off, and that was really make a decision on where to put it. If warranted, where you put it. Is that right? If we're going to put it
December
or not,
where
to put it. That's pretty much what your FDA said.
December 2012.
Yeah. Hmm. That was a decision on if we're going to implement that.
Was there RPA?
Yeah.
I think it was a 2010. That was in the supplemental opinion.
It was in the supplemental. You're right.
Yeah, it's not really an RPA, it's just an action.
So, in my view, in my mind, I think we've already done that. We said, Dell, yes, we're going to put it in. We're going to do it as Dell's. Remaining question is, what's the alternative?
So, yeah,
have we met that requirement?
Does it say yes, we're going to put it in? I haven't read anything that says yes, we're going to put it in yet.
We're doing an alternative study for the
Dell. Oh, come on.
But that's when we ask it, is it coming in? It's like, well, we're just doing an alternative study. That's the point of the this. Does it say what the number of work?
Well, we didn't document the decision installing it yet, but I think the alternative study is separate.
What's the issue, Mike? I haven't heard anybody talk about the state.
I think the question is, are we meeting intent of the buyout?
We didn't. You saw our comment letter yesterday.
I didn't read it.
See? So, why don't we have these meetings for?
So is this the comment? This comment is about the count station issue? This is about the count station issue. I mean, I don't need to read it because I know what you guys are thinking. It's the count station, right? You don't want the count station alternative because you think you're going to do the count station out of the Dells plan because there's this work group that FPOM created looking at...
The core created.
This
core created.
So,
pointing that to you guys.
So, as far as the alternatives report, that is a problem because we have an alternative for the count station and it's probably going to be the preferred alternative except for this issue now. And so the team is going to need to know what's the likelihood of this really happening at the desk.
Well, there's a couple other issues though. There's a cost issue and the count alternative. Our comments kind of focused on how you could reduce costs in years. You had three we're selected. We're saying with 80% efficiency, which is kind of a new coming, you can actually reduce the number of weirs that you have. So
you guys put a hard restraint in there of 95%.
Yeah, and so with 80%, you could achieve that with just two weirs.
Oh, really? I thought we had 80%.
No, that wasn't in there. So our comments, I need to read that first.
So you could kill costs a lot for the weir options and make it potentially the preferred alternative.
I think is that 80%? Each antenna or a system.
That's what overall. Steve Smith of the Science Center came up with. If he did like a Lincoln Peterson market capture, he could achieve the goals of this.
What we said in the letter was that 80% would be a hard constraint as a floor, but try to achieve 90 if you can. I mean, or 95. That
you've told us that before, so I don't know.
That was in Pennsylvania. So as far as the weir detectors,
I mean, I think the orifice is fine, but we don't have a design for the overflow that, from the team's perspective, and so there's some R&D required still.
Well, that becomes the question is like, if you're only getting 80%.
You could get 80 even without anything.
You could just maybe just
worried about. I mean, aren't you worried about some bias of fish going multiple overflow?
Well, we put a detector there.
It can be a pass through. You guys said it in the report. Well, would you swim through a detector?
Since you want a pass through, you could just do a flat plate up there.
You could, but you miss.
There's issues because then you have to rebuild the weir because you can't make a skinny flat plate. It's got to be like 16 inches wide, so you have to rebuild the weir, and that's the cost. So to make the weir small and cheap, you have to make a pass through.
Just make it pass through. Pass through, you don't care. Yeah, 20% off.
You still get good efficiency through pass through, and we were okay with the.
So regarding costs, I believe in the north ladder, the vertical slot alternative is cheaper than the count station. So
Right. And then going to the east ladder, doing two weirs instead of three. Don't widen them. Don't tear them out.
Just get what you get. You'll get
put a pass through, two pass throughs on each side of the weir, two weirs. That's got to be cheaper than that count station. Cutting all that concrete, adding on all that extension, and it'll be a lower hydraulic impact too, because that's the one thing I'm a little worried about when you add 2 feet of extra length to the count station.
Right.
And there's all kinds of stuff. And if we do get rid of that count station, then that becomes an issue. So
that just seems like a long term down the road kind of thing.
Maybe, but you're talking about spending $2 to $4 million on this count station.
We wouldn't want to limit our ability to do that.
That would certainly limit the ability to do that. If you invest that much. So I'd like to leave those alone, especially the Dalles.
Okay, so what address those, the comments and the weird?
Well, what we're saying in the comments is that we think, I mean, laid all on the table, at least not here, I think we're going to be able to get away with this, the less costly thing we're doing this winter pretty well. That may be something you can actually upgrade slightly and maintain for a few years, and you'll have your data, and we're done with this whole issue. So this may all go away. What I suggested was keeping two alternatives on the table for the report to go out there. One would be looking really hard with the ideas we came up with for the weir, and then also carry the count station forward too as a as a design.
Not make a decision.
And then not make a decision and leave those on the table until we if we get there. But I don't know if we'll ever get there.
So that would be delaying the DDR next year.
So we're telling you, this is...
So that's kind of why I asked the intent of the buyout on that December date. I think the team and the district, the district, are nervous about the
so we've got to meet this December 8th.
You're going to meet it.
In my view, we've done it, but I'm meeting with you and deciding the Dells is the right place, and we're going to put it in there.
Would you like an SOR from NOAA telling them that they've met their
interview? I think in your comments, did your comments say, you know, did they address that issue?
No, because it's a 90% DDR.
It's EDR. I know it's an alternative study.
So it's just an EDR. If you give it the next level, we can do that. And we can capture that, especially if we're going out and getting the data anyway. I mean, if we're getting the data by next year, what are we worried about?
I think it's justified to wait on that decision, Mike.
I disagree with that. I mean, as long as everybody's okay.
The data's all it's been. We have to. So,
I thought the building in Barchmore ended up in Walla Walla.
I don't want you to spend money if you don't have to. See what we get out of these other antennas, see how they work. That makes sense to me to wait and make that decision on what alternative you're going to choose.
I thought
what that seems like something big for.
All right, so you can have a
discussion. I'm not going there.
TAP would like to see it. I'm not in there. They'd like to see it. TAP would like to see, what, a 20% efficiency?
Oh, she's here today.
Maybe a 10?
I don't know.
They'd like to see us stub our toes big time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any more on the Dalles pit?
Not really.
I'm on the line, by the way.
Yay! Okay. Hi, Natalie. I was going to say, not without Natalie in the room, but now she's in the room.
I thought she was here today.
I'm here.
Upstairs?
Well, I have to run to John Day, so.
Hey, Natalie, I CC'd you and Sean both on our comments.
Okay. You provided the update handout I provided you, Brad?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So, yeah,
okay, so do you want me to go into number 6?
Sure.
As long as you guys are fine with that, I'm fine with that.
Good.
Okay, so we had our pre-construction meeting on the Bonneville Washington Shores ladder improvement job. So we have a contractor on board. Fowler is the contractor. They did a good job on the Bradford Island ladder emergency repair this past winter season, and when they came to the pre-con, they already had the schedule all worked out, so I'm encouraged by this. So anyway, we're going to start with that, and we'll keep you posted on when the, you know, when big things are being delivered and when you guys can come and see it, and I think Sean is going to chat with you about sometime. So, you know, the ladder will go down, and my mind says sometime around the 12th, I think. I don't have the exact dates in
November?
Front of me. But anyway, so then they're going to start to dewater and defish and everything else. And so the contractor made a request that if they could start doing the pipe work, which is adjacent to the ladder at that time, they would appreciate the extra couple of weeks. So Sean is
going
to, he may have mentioned it to
F-pong.
You.
Well, he's
the ladder's down, though, so I don't think there's an issue. If the requirement's 50 feet from a ladder, we don't.
If there's no water in the ladder,
water.
We should be able to do that.
Okay, we just wanted to make sure you guys were good with that. We didn't want to assume.
This is Bonneville.
There's a couple lambrin.
I have to do 29 or 30 or 40 MOC on this. I'm going to.
Okay, Tammy.
We're all
going to
get nasty brownies next time.
Ooh. Oh, your composter needs to be emptied.
That's right. Don't mess with
it. The toilet composter needs to be emptied. Here's some brownies.
Okay, any other questions on the Bonneville Washington Shore?
No, I just, once the schedule comes out, if there's any stuff you need coordination on, talk to F-Palm, but if...
So...
Okay.
So we can put Sean down to. Does Sean have a copy of that schedule, or if we don't?
He probably doesn't yet. He didn't come to the pre-con, and he's out. But he could certainly have a copy. I mean, hopefully they'll send it to me in PDF because it's actually quite large to do on a paper copy.
Because we can put this on the FPOM agenda for next week to see if there's anything that we need to be thinking about.
See if I can get an electronic copy for you. If I can't, then we'll have to delay it till September.
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, we've got our next fitter week is the 4th of October. We can have it there, too.
We can also shoehorn it. We have an F-pond every month, so.
Yeah.
I don't say it was so much enthusiasm.
It's F-pond. It's the light of my life.
Okay.
Natalie, next.
Okay, so number seven is John Day North. So today we're going to go out and look underneath, try to take the ROV underneath the ladder to see if we have undermining of it. It was flagged to us by hydraulics. We don't know if we have an issue or not, but that's why we're going out to see. So we'll let you know what the deal is once we have a sense of how bad it is. And then on the pumps job, we're still running the ladder under criteria. We're still working with the contractor to try to get the first pump up, which went down like roughly in April, early April. And then we're working with the contractor to get a failure analysis of why did pump one go down, why did pump five go down. And that's been a little bit of a struggle. I've had to elevate it. It's now illegal. We're trying to work with Kindly to get the subcontractor to help us, but that's been difficult. So anyway, we're still running under new criteria, so it's really not of any concern to you, but I just wanted to let you know where we're at with that. So are there any questions for me on John Day?
No.
Okay, so I also have a Fall Creek. I don't know if that...
No, we're not talking about that here, Natalie.
No.
Okay, so then that's all I have. Do you have any other questions for me? For any of the jobs I have?
I don't think so, Natalie.
Fuck, come on.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'm going to take off now.
Thank you, Natalie.
Have a good day.
You too.
This is Fall Creek over on the
one end.
Okay. I spent my time running around the Lily Dam Hatchery.
So next is Washington Shore. Tom, this is your favorite thing.
I can never retire until this is done. So.
Trash rake.
Tom will be happy to know.
Yes.
Eric Strickland. I just want to say Eric Strickland was planning to be here today to meet everybody.
Is he our new PM?
Yes.
One of 20 that we've had.
No, he's gonna be good. And he wanted to be here, but he had some other obligations. No, he really did.
No priority.
He's going to be good. Anyway, we're basically, looking at the 2001 DDR and adding to it. Our scope has changed based on lamprey criteria. So there's some analysis that needs to be done on the fishing at trash racks, going down to 5/8-inch criteria, which is being conducted right now.
Okay, hydraulic analysis for the unit.
They'll come back and say we need the extra, if they need to unplate the bottom.
Unplate the bottom, last year when we were floating trash during the day, we had 10 to 12 foot drawdowns. I talked to the operators at Bonneville, and there were times where drawdowns on those fish units were up to 20 feet.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Yeah. That can't be good.
So, considering that, and reduction in size to 5/8-inch.
It's just going
to
make it worse.
That's something that needs to be looked at closely.
The debris has to be dealt with. That's just all there is to it.
Now, the dredging component is moving forward, and
you just got the look from Tammy. So is it not moving forward?
Is it not moving forward?
No, it's moving forward. Maybe has an update on what some of the environmental concerns are.
It's the other side of our branch.
Yeah. So it's just... Yeah. It's on our side, administrative things that we're working on.
Can't you set a pump truck and pump it there and leave the...
We have the funds.
I'm serious. Leave a pump truck there and pump it to the... fall of the corner collector, and there you go.
I guess. Once you touch it, it's suddenly contaminated.
It's
going to
go on land.
Anyhow, we are going to make it happen this winter.
What's the survey?
I will find a new job. The
survey
results. I haven't heard of the
survey. Did you do that already?
No, the survey hasn't been done.
What is that?
Should be next week, I think.
Okay.
So
you haven't got that.
So you're doing the hydro survey. That means you are planning to remove it, because if you weren't to get rid of it, okay.
We're removing it.
So is this?
It's coming out of there.
Well, we have some.
Whether Tammy has to go with the shovel or not.
We do have some environmental compliance work we need to do.
So what is that? Is that
one permit?
A real
trip? We need to touch base with Unboltra, with Fish and Wildlife Service, and it'll be like the Bonneville spillway will have a not likely to adversely affect memo, and hopefully you can quickly turn that around and concur with it. And then
Carolyn's going to touch base with you to ensure that we're covered with ESA, SAM. We've done this before, so I don't think it's a big deal, but our compliance section chief just gave a long list of boxes we got to check. There's a FCRPS bull trout buyout, that's why.
So why can't they just give a thumbs up on that? Why do they have to do it?
I don't think it covers maintenance at the dam.
It depends on what the original, we need to get into this. Yeah, this is not a routine operation.
It should be.
It's different.
It is for us.
It is for us.
It's routine.
Dredging is considered routine as far as O&M budget.
Then write it up that way.
Seriously.
It might help. I'm not the final word, but it might help.
I think they want to, Chris.
Chris Allen?
Yeah.
Have a word.
So is the survey to determine
how much
potential toxics or the extent of the...
How big? Where's the top of it at? Where's the top of it and how extensive it is to get a volume?
The concern was that with the high flows that we had, the survey that was done last year wouldn't be sufficient for our dredging folks, so they requested a new survey, and we will be doing that without closing the corner collector. So you can thank Schwartz for agreeing to do that.
You did, okay.
Yeah, you did. There's operators that disagree with
that. Wow.
Tell him the beer that Bent knows me, he can just give it to Dennis.
So that's what the survey is for. The toxics, that's already been tested. We anticipate this being the same material that was in the AWS that we pulled out in February. So we don't expect that.
Well, where does the AWS stuff come from?
Well, there's that.
Tammy, what's the schedule for
the survey? Yeah. I believe it's next week. I don't know
that I've gotten was dredged?
An exact date on it.
Oh,
but I'll be able to update it at the
Pre-2000 or post-2000?
Andy, I don't know. Andy, do you know?
Okay, so it's post-2000.
You're on the
phone. Sorry, what was the question again?
When is the hydro survey for dredging the fish units?
Oh, I don't know that.
Hey, John, when was the last time you guys dredged fish units?
Oh, many, many years ago.
We just did Bradford Island.
Post-2000?
That was just done last year.
Probably when we plated them, wouldn't it have been? Didn't we have to clean it out?
Yeah, we totally cleaned it out.
I think Gary Johnson was involved in that.
So it's been a while.
That was a 96 event we had where we filled up the AWS that year. After that, we must have dredged.
Well, you had to dredge it, and then we dredged it again. We plated the bottom two units.
Yeah.
We
might have
only
clamshelled.
When was that? That must have been close to
That was a recommendation from that 2001 DDR.
Yeah, so I maybe 2002, 2003.
Put a little history together, and it might lend itself more to maintenance.
You can contract the other
for
that
maintenance thing.
Okay. It should be routine.
Once every 16 years.
Yeah.
Well, other sites are more routine. I think Bradford Island exit.
Yeah, it has to be filled in. Yeah.
Excellent.
Cool.
Okay.
Go forth and do good. George, I just want to throw one thing back out there on that dredging issue. Can we establish a regular dredging routine out there? I mean, we're just trying to get through another, and then we'll be back to 20-year rotation or something. Can we? And it meets with these guys, with the Fish and Wildlife Services Department, too. But we can establish a...
We'd like to get it into the FPP, especially for Bradford Island, that we will maintain a maximum depth.
Right. And that's going to change with the trash rack stuff and all that, but...
Yeah.
And Tom's wonderful new... cleaner, but if we could get that then we don't have to just give them lip service. It's real.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been kind of on my agenda as a change fund to put together.
Sorry, George.
Oh no, not at all. My report's easy. Everything's on time. Everything's working. We're good to go. Any questions?
Nice.
Is the John Day Lamprey Trap? That's a new project. It's an accelerated project. We're trying to get things off the ground quickly. we should have a 30% DDR by, actually by tomorrow, and 90% DDR sometime late September, and with concrete specs sometime around mid-November.
Definitely accelerated.
That's very accelerated. Basically, what we're doing, we're taking existing designs and modifying it a little bit. We think that it's going to be a straightforward solution, at least for now.
Are you guys looking into that issue that occurred at Bonneville and making sure that your design doesn't have the mini jacks were getting in there and there was some P-mount that were getting in the lamprey trap?
Right. We're working with the folks that worked at the Bonneville trap.
Okay.
So there's collaboration there. Actually, it's the same folks.
So is this all going to be in behind the picket leads?
Yes.
Correct.
All behind the picket leads.
So mini jacks will get in there.
Some of the challenges that we've got is designing a counting mechanism that allows pass-by. We're looking at electronic as well as mechanical.
So are you going to have a review, a regional review for the 30-60-90 of this thing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're trying to work the mechanics of how to do that, given how accelerated we're moving this thing along. But I guess the good news is that we picked up the ball, we're running with it, and we're seeing if we can get this thing installed sometime in January kind of thing.
Yeah. That's working.
Yeah. Any questions, comments?
Are you coordinating with the Lamprey, Lamprey task group?
Yeah, actually they're part of the DDG.
Excellent. Then I'm covered.
So we got the representatives from NOAA, we got the representatives from the tribe. I think it's a good collaborative effort to work it together there.
Great.
BG Corner Collector Channel Repairs. We're looking to get something on, get a contractor on the ground sometime in the late September, early October time frame. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to address the large spall areas. We're also developing a study that basically looked at the hydraulics and tried to identify what the problem was. Why is it that we're having the intensity of spalling that we're having now? We have large chunks and whatnot. I think one of the things we concluded is that progressively as time, with time, progressively we're getting a rougher surface on the sides of the walls as well as the floor. Our strategy is, go ahead.
Stainless steel insert.
Well, we kind of talked about that a little bit, but that's somewhat cost prohibitive. So we're trying to
work. Somewhat?
Could it be gold? I was going to say aluminum foil, I heard it's good.
We contemplated putting armoring it just at the joints.
Yeah.
Just put some steel at the joints. But even then, that became cost prohibitive. So right now, we're looking at an epoxy and concrete mix going in to fill the spalls, going to fill the cracks and chamfer the edges, because what we find is that water gets into the crevices, the joints, creates a circular eddy, creates negative pressure, and thus the concrete pops out.
Is that it? You think it's not as a result of freezing and thawing? And
well, there's thermal expansion, of course.
You know, bring water on or whatever.
And you know, we need water that all year round.
That's how mountains weather down to...
So Gary, we should just leave water in there all year round. We should keep it running.
Well, as long as our big block of ice, whatever. You know.
Well, that's what I was also going to say, is the fact that you don't have, it's not consistently filled. I mean, you have dry periods, so you have the walls basically doing this. It's like if you have a swimming pool and you take the water out.
You're gonna be,
There's no bulkhead at the bottom end, is there?
No.
So
you could. The sea lines can swim back up when it's high enough.
Yeah, but I mean, in the off seasons, if this was a concern, couldn't you put a bulkhead in there and just leave it filled with water?
It would be difficult to get a bulkhead down there.
Yeah.
You'd need a barge crane.
Yeah.
You just need another crane. That's the problem.
You guys have lots of cranes. You guys like cranes.
So much for being able to just open that when we want to open it.
Well, I was thinking the off season when you know it's not being used.
But we open it for debris in November.
Oh, okay.
We should do a spring creek. Oh, I think I realized that thing.
Yeah, that's March. That's April.
Address the spalling and the long-term, mission. I'd like to share that report with you. It's a 90% report. Get your thoughts and comments on it. Get that out to folks.
We'd like to look at what you're finishing now and what you're doing there. You're talking about, this is what's going on this fall, right? We're going to be doing that this fall.
Okay.
We have a September 4th. Visit by the contractor, but you said you wouldn't have a contractor until the end of September.
Contract in place, but the contractor's been out for several times. Actually, it's the same contractor that we
So you have a contractor without a contract. just trying to catch up.
It's the same folks that did this before.
Mm-hmm. So you know who's got it. Says sole source, yeah. Sort of thing. Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Actually, it was the same contractor that was prepared to do the work, but basically said you don't have access to the corner collector because we need to use it.
Yeah.
We're working through those issues. Any questions on that? Turbine Survival Program, I think, Gary, I think you're quite familiar with where we currently are with that.
Yeah.
There has been a little bit of slippage on the BIT document. Initially, we thought we would have that available for us in July, but because some of the key team members on the team were pulled off to address other issues elsewhere, namely at Bonneville, that has slipped until September. The B1 ERDC model draft report, that should be available again in September. Bob Davidson's got his hands full down there with the Ice Harbor project. B2 modeling, again, that's going to start in September. A lot of things are kind of slated for the September time frame. The Ice Harbor runner design, Gary, I think you were down there. I think we're moving forward with the third iteration for the fixed blade unit. External tags, there's some results that have come back that indicate that maybe perhaps they will work as effectively as they initially thought. Definitive data is yet, it's pending. We don't have definitive data at this point in time.
Maybe a little broader update on the Ice Harbor runner. There's two runners that are being designed. One's adjustable blade, one's fixed blade. Or on the third iteration for the fixed blade, will be on the second iteration for the adjustable blade. That review, first look, will be in September 17th, that week.
That's correct.
We had a look at the at two parallel designs for the adjustable runner over the last several months. One of them is a diagonal flow unit with blades that stick up quite a, you know, some flow actually hits the diagonal thing and starts to turn the runner. The other is more of a conventional design. What we decided to do is to move forward last time we were down, the last meeting we had, to move forward with the diagonal design. So, and try to fix some of the problems that we've seen with that, which the contractor feels that they can magically fix those problem areas. So we'll see how that works out with the third iteration fixed, which is the next and last probably
correct
iteration. So your plan would be to have one or two variable and the rest fixed would be the long-term strategy?
Yeah, well, yeah, for, I don't know what the long-term strategy is. I'm questioning that myself. And right now the whole strategy is to have two runners in, and that's it. You know, one's one and one's the other, and there you are. But there's an option to have a third runner in. It could be one of these two or something else, you know, and unit three. And those are the three units at Ice Harbor that are the old design. Then the other three units are slated to be worked on. So as far as I know, replaced at this point. But yeah, I think McNary upgrade's coming next, and that's going to be what everybody needs to start thinking about at some point. But moving it down the road.
Well, what you just said right there touches on the relevance of the Ice Harbor things that are currently being designed. And I should emphasize it's the process that we're after, the collaborative process between ourselves and industry. And in light of what's taking place at John Day here recently with failures, and as Gary's indicated, at McNary, I think these designs and this process will play significantly into the long-term implementation of the rehab process.
Right. Yeah, there's two key parts of that, I think. One is the iterative process that the Corps has developed with a contractor, in this case with Hydro in Pennsylvania. But there's also the criteria that they've developed for, you know, the quote fish-friendly design from looking at turbines or turbulence contact, blade design to minimize contact, and then actually it's the entire environment from the distributor ring, which includes the stamping, wicking gates, all the way to the draft tube and exit draft tube. So they're modifying everything from stem to stern, and all with the idea of minimizing strike, minimizing turbulence, and I should say maximizing pressure, I guess, because we're trying to stay away from global pressures. Right. So, and they've based all this on biological evaluations in labs,
right,
the best we can do. So it's a very different process for developing turbines than it's ever been done in the past.
I think it's quite innovative. Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges, however, and I think there's still, the debate still ensues, and that is, how do we biologically validate that indeed these are truly, there are true improvements as opposed to, well, we think that it's going to work, and our models indicate that they will, we feel best.
That's why I put out the idea of pentane detectors.
I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
Did they get where?
Turbines. You weren't there last week, were you? That was my new delicious.
Nice. Glad it was in Canada.
Well, you would have liked it. You're going to vote yes, right? I priority. Come on, Tom. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah. I would encourage us to pursue that.
I think we should. I think it's actually going to probably beat the spillway. Have something in sooner. It may not be hugely effective, but over time, is that John?
We have the stay vanes out of pit detectors.
No, that wouldn't work. But we've thought through it all. Actually, I think that's going to draft to you, but it'd probably be something like a drop-in, invisible pass-through, and with very low detection efficiency, but you do it over a long period of time, and at least getting adult returns through that is the only...
How big are we talking? Accuracy 30%. I like it. 50 feet.
Yeah.
George? Okay. 25.
Okay.
Just a
little
bigger in the corner.
Comment on the external tag bullet you have here.
Yes.
I guess I'd rather see the data than the conclusion. I don't know if you guys are interested in seeing what they're talking about here. Have you seen it?
Which one?
What preliminary data we're talking about?
Preliminary
data suggests. Because I'll tell you, what I heard was that there were significant and substantial differences in travel time.
There was. We talked yesterday about this, or maybe it was the day before, a TSP call,
right,
and that the survivals were similar, but that there was a travel time,
correct,
difference that was significant.
Yeah.
You know, and the survivals were similar, and the survival for the external tag was actually a little bit higher than survival for the internal tag.
What's a little bit?
I don't know, but it wasn't significant.
What was the travel time difference? So
I haven't seen any data. All I've heard is this.
Exactly. That's my only point.
Yeah.
Let's get a report.
Maybe we should have some data to support it, or wait till we have not preliminary data, but data to look at. And then, if we're going to really continue or entertain using this or spending more dollars on it, I'd like to see the whole roll-up, including the lab studies, because, frankly, I don't think the lab studies showed there was no difference. The swimming performance test showed there was a difference between untagged and fish tagged with the external tag. So it just feels like we're ignoring data that points contrary to what we wanted to say.
Trying to be objective, but this one's a little.
And I don't know if there's a future here anyway, but if there is, I think we need to have that debate and lay it out and let people decide if there's.
Yeah, that's the internal tag.
I mean, objective.
Mike brings up a good point, and I would rather if we could strike that from the minutes here and just basically say that the information is pending.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Done and done.
It's so shall be stricken.
Push the reset button.
John, unless there's more questions?
Yes. Do we want to talk about sensor fish?
No.
Stuff and the studies that are being talked about doing a study next year at B1, B2. This gets to the data mining question. If you look at the agenda, I put it underneath TSP. We can wait till the end to talk about that if we want.
Let's just get, this is where it kind of fits, so might as well do it now.
Yeah. So, with these questions. So,
Gary. The gentleman from NOAA is having a sidebar.
Yeah, hold on, sorry.
Is this on sensor steps or sensor fish?
Yeah,
this is on the feed analysis.
But if the sensor fish issue, I don't know what you said, but what the issue is we need to
We have sensor fish data. There's old technology, new technology. The old technology is sensor fish, which we got information for from both Bonneville 1, Bonneville 2, actually Bonneville 1, I think is the oldest. And that's, that didn't really get us the pressure levels that we'd like to see, because it's like a 20 read per second or 20 hertz type of a tag. And then the other one's like 2,000, so it's much more likely to get the pressure meters that we'd max like to see. The idea for me was to try to validate the bead studies, since everybody's kind of squishy about bead, the work that we've done down in Mississippi, which I still think is really a good tool to evaluate. It's actually a quantitative but relative evaluation of the runners in the runner environments to look at better, versus worse. But what I would like to do is actually validate that information with the actual runner, So that's what the bead analysis would be, or the sensor fish. So the idea is to run sensor fish through, do some studies at the first powerhouse, especially because of the open geometry question, and at least validate the bead analysis that we've already, done for that. And then the other part of this is to carry that on forward. I think the other part of it is to use those sensor fish for validating the information we've got from the bead analysis from the Ice Harbor runners.
That's correct.
Okay. So, well, the sensor fish, we no longer have any.
Understand. Work.
They're all broken.
They're all broken, and they're looking at both the vendor that supplied those to see if they can get more sensor fish from them. P&L is also working on a new design, which is even faster, better, more expensive.
Their goal was actually to reduce the cost of it.
Initially,
we paid $5,000 for these. Right. When it's on a concepts, some of the components, they're obsolete. They're going to have to probably redesign.
I don't know if they're obsolete. I think that the
you get into some of the components that go onto the boards.
They don't have
the boards. They're going to have, and you can't get them.
Right? Is that? I don't know if they can't. I just heard they could. They're having trouble.
Yeah, and that may be they're having trouble, but it's likely going to require a redesign of the board, to get the same function.
You just take a hacksaw out.
How many 8-tracks can you buy today?
So,
that's true.
I'm saying eBay,
eBay, what's the problem? Yeah. How many do you need?
So they may not be able to get them in time for...
The question, too, is, looking at what's the... How many do you need, and how many will you lose as you do the study? How many repetitions do you need? We typically use 650 beads for an analysis. How many sensor fish runs through a unit do you need to at least verify that the bead analysis was?
Has anyone done that?
I think typically when they do these, Mike may know better, but I think they at the dams in the Columbia, they've used roughly 20.
Right.
Sensor fish, different
right.
sensor fish.
And they just run them through.
And the
one or two every time you're running through.
And the recovery rate on them is fairly high.
Attrition, though, eventually you're down to.
Start breaking them.
They're all broken because they were used in the Willamette on the Francis.
Gee, I wonder why.
That's a why.
Yeah.
You just say this is bad, don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so that's the issue, is getting sensor fish. Wherever sensor packages from whatever vendor you can get them, and then get this work started.
Yeah, the process to get them maybe
hold them up.
The sensor fish weren't robust enough to survive Detroit.
No.
So it's your fault, Bill.
Very little is.
Sensor fish. Make them a little stronger.
Yeah,
concrete.
55 green
concrete sensor fish.
So I guess one of the questions is, how important is this for next year? Do you want to get this for next year? And then if we do, we should have a one page report. I haven't even seen objectives, but we're a little bit over the map.
I think the first issue that this is needed for is this powerhouse to derating issue, running up mid load and using powerhouse one open geometry, and folks are kind of, fish pass centers put out a nasty gram on open geometry, so that's going to be an issue.
coming into this discussion that we're going to have this fall to try to resolve that operation, the second powerhouse. And I was hoping to have sensor fish information, whatever we have, you know, to help with that decision and help support at least the premise that open geometry at powerhouse one is no worse than running at the upper end of 1%. And that issue really revolves around pressures, in my mind, and tailwater elevations, especially the lowest tailwaters. What pressures do we have with those higher uniforms? So being able to look at that and maybe get some minimum tailwater that you can run open geometry at, or maybe there is no minimum, but at least establishing and resolving that issue, I think, is important. And just to maybe add one more piece to make folks a little more comfortable with open geometry, at least in the case where we're using it to offset powerhouse loading at the other powerhouse, maybe not scale. I realize there's another issue there. But
yeah, that's a different issue.
It is. So, you know, I think the more information we have, the better. If we don't have it, we don't have it. You know, we'll go forward. But then we get into the Ice Harbor runner evaluation. That's another.
No, I like the concept of correlating it with the bead strike data, and that condition A is better than condition B, or those kind of things, and then being able to relate that back to the prototype and the strike and pressure and turbulence changes we see, because we should be able to capture all that. It's just a matter of timing and expense. Do we buy kind of obsolete sensor fish this year and go through the pain of trying to get the contract out and stuff? Maybe it sounds like, yeah, because we need a decision if you want. I see that.
Yeah.
We're going to be debating that. Will this serve the decision? No, that's where.
Well, we have B1 data, but I don't think we took it at the higher, you know, the open geometry.
No,
it was only within 1%.
And so. Yeah. The sample rate, too.
So I haven't seen the data yet. I just haven't had a chance to look at it. I'm sure I have, but I just haven't spent time on it yet. So, but that we have a subgroup meeting, I think, next Thursday to talk more about this stuff. So
someone should write up the one pager, and then the other part of this one pager for B1 would be the past data we have from JSAT, and what is, if we can glean anything.
Right. I think there may be some.
It seems the sooner we get the objectives clarified, because I've heard talk, we need to do this at all our dams, and you know, we need to offer sensor fish, and you know, so I want to get some focus to it. I agree. I think it's B1 and B2 are where we have decisions to make.
And then eventually at Ice Harbor, and I don't know. I mean, through TSP, there's been a discussion of having sensor fish for just about, you know, studies done every dam. I think
that's correct. As part of the BIT program,
right. So how far we go with that, and what the time, you know.
But I think in terms of priority, B1, B2, I think is the priority there.
It is, yeah, and then eventually Ice Harbor in a couple of years will be a high priority, because that's been my suggestion. We've been doing $1 billion worth of biological testing, that I'd rather see balloon tag testing and sensor fish testing than this, because I just don't see us being able to put the fish to test it otherwise.
Maybe that data, though, because I mean, yeah, every spring, you know, it's going to come up and be an issue again.
Well, the other side of it is, are people going to agree that that we can use this kind of information to make a decision on B1 open geometry, and what is that decision? I'd like to get some clarity on that.
I don't know if there's ever going to be enough data.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know for me personally, and the questions I got from supervisors when I first brought the original white paper discussion from FPOM, they all went, beads. What do you mean beads?
Well, that's the other thing.
Questions, are sensor fish any better?
Right. So, but I think all of
fish,
what you need, and I've told this to Gary, what I think you need to do is explain what these tests are.
I know.
And how they've been used, what their validity is in the industry.
I brought this up
and
with
just
Bob
put it
Davis
together in a coherent manner.
Two weeks ago, I asked him, where do we have the bead analysis written up?
Well, there's a B1 ERDC draft report in September. Could that include all that information and kind of ease people's concerns and all that?
Yeah, it could, but I'm thinking that maybe perhaps a one-pager would generate a little sooner than that.
That's So that would be for the study, but what Dave's talking about would be a really good publication for somebody to write.
Right. You need engineers and biologists together to work on this. I can't explain the engineering aspect.
Really is. I mean, that's a great idea. There are bits and pieces of that in the BIT report. Some of the other, I don't know what all, that Martin rattled off a couple sources of information that have already been written. The problem is that really the best way to do this would be to have somebody write up the whole process, you know, with the statistical design and everything else that's in there. That somebody would have to be Bob Davidson and Dana Polk. And those two folks are extremely busy gathering these data. I mean, they're sapped right now. They just don't have time for that. So to get all that done this year, on top of the Ice Harbor work and the Bonneville work that's already going on, it's two people trying to do all that work.
No, you're right on target there, Gary. That said, however, I think one of the things that we've kicked around as a team is the idea of, if it was a phase one report, I don't think that it would be a bad idea for us to come back and put together a phase two or a phase 1B report that basically summarizes where we are, what the objectives are, how we've accomplished those objectives, basically to address the concern of, well, tell the story. Where are we? What does all this mean? Where do BEADS fit into this? What's the significance of BEADS? What's the significance of that in context of open geometry? What does open geometry mean?
Good.
So yeah, we're aware of that. It's just as Gary's indicated, it's just we're just spread very, very thin.
And put it in context, at least for me, put it in context of, you're currently, the criteria is this 1% range. And I've had this discussion with Gary too. Where did it come from? Why was it chosen? Yeah, I know. We'll all point the finger at Gary. And then transition into what all this new information means and what open geometry
is. It's all good. The father of 1%.
So why doesn't the BIT document have that information in it, or why can't it be put in that document? And that's coming out in September. That's like perfect timing for this. It would seem like that.
It could. Obviously, this is going to require some effort on some people to put
some of this would be a good task for the TSB group. Is maybe first a white paper? No. what you're talking about. I mean, I agree with Mike. I think it would make a really good publication, but.
We don't have time for all that.
You mean it hasn't?
But if it's just a white paper first, and I don't know, I don't know if there's some we can contract out or, I don't know. Yeah, Bob Davis is probably the best to write the.
Obviously, it should be a chapter in the report. It's the basis for a lot of our decisions and recommendations. You got to explain why.
I mean, it's easy enough to explain what we do, but when it comes down to the statistics of it all, what did the 650 beads mean in terms of the whole geometry of the turbine unit? What's your likelihood of encountering these problems with 650 beads? Why was that chosen? I think.
And have you done this bead study within the 1% range to compare?
Oh, yeah.
Put that together.
They have been usually three different points.
And then the connection to fish, where it exists.
That's where the sensor. At least you can make sure connection to the real world one, and then we have once we know that those strikes and those pressure naders and those things are real, then you have biological data to support whether that's a problem or not for fish. But if you want to just run fish through turbine units and prove the concept, I think you're talking about millions of dollars and lots of fish. And I just don't see that as ever going to happen.
For the pressure part of the issue, but we've done this with balloon tag studies for John Day, for example, where we looked at other dams where there's balloon tank data that do validate what you see.
They
in
do.
The model.
And I hesitate to. People laugh at me whenever I bring that up, but I mean, I think it is good data for fish going through turbine units. I mean, that's the direct injury part of it to validate what you're seeing.
So is this a good time to talk about JSATs and whether that data can be used?
And that's what I wanted to do. I think it was 2010, TSP went to USGS and NOAA Fisheries and had them look at all of their past RT data, dams all the way up to the Snake, and turbine stuff and see what they could glean from all that. And I don't think it was a whole lot.
And it was, I remember my comment to John at the end of the AFAP presentation was, what did you just say? As he walked down from the stage.
So what wasn't included in that is all of the lower river acoustic
telemetry
stuff.
It came up with that.
Yeah.
What would be more interesting is the JSATS information with the operations at Bonneville with open geometry versus or a different
And Bonneville is going to give us our best shot at it because over the last 4 years, B2, I know there's been detection the last 4 years, B1 just the last two, but So what I was wanting to try to do today is to, and this could go into developing the one pager, is what are the specific questions we want to ask of that data. The first step we would probably do is have Gene and company go into the data and see is it worth taking it further. So what are kind of the sample sizes that we would be looking at based on the questions we want to ask. And if there aren't enough fish, then we can refine our questions and those sorts of things.
So my initial question to these guys is based on the data that you've seen and the tagging levels that we currently have for the performance standard tests, are there enough fish going through those turbines to kind of confidently correlate operations with fish survival through the turbines? I mean, there's only 20% of the fish go through turbines. I mean,
for Chinook, perhaps. At B1, they go through the turbine. At B2, a lot of them are guided.
Corner collector.
And corner collector. You know, 70% go through the corner collector. So I don't know about steelhead at B2. Chinook, there's a sizable number of them go through turbines.
They're real special subs.
You got two different issues here that are very important to the ultimate biological response. And one of them, well, may be important. One of them is unit loading, which is what we're after. But the other one is how many units you have on, what the tail race looks like for egress conditions. If you're looking at survival downriver, it's going to be a function of both of those. And so you're going to have to get, I don't want to look at just the unit loading and ignore how many units are running.
Right.
Well, for 11, pretty much everything's been running. So you're pretty safe there.
For first power. For second power.
Right.
Yeah, so we should be good there. Yeah. Yep. But the real question is going to be open geometry versus standard operation.
And the question is, can you guys feel comfortable you're going to be able to tell which fish went through which individual units, or are they going to be block units?
So that part is not a problem at powerhouses.
Well, you can get the loading of the unit and survival for those fish that went through at different loadings, and we can look at that question. But my concern is that also, those aren't equal. If we only have two units running at the powerhouse versus 10, then the egress conditions are very different.
And that's when your sample
you're measuring
starts
out here,
dropping
not up here.
Tremendously.
I'll tell you what we do have. I mean, we've merged the operations data, the hourly operations data, for every turbine. We know which one's on and how much discharge was going through each turbine. And that's merged with the fish data. Mm-hmm. So if a fish passed at turbine, we know what the operations were. That's already in the database.
Right.
So that's part of it. What I don't know for sure is whether you can separate open geometry from the lower end of 1% based strictly upon discharge. I assume that you probably can, but...
Well, you'd have to have your hour, because it's going to be head and tail water related.
Yeah.
It's head related.
So we need some formula for identifying that. We need probably 4-bay tailwater and discharge through each unit. And then if somebody could tell us how...
Well, the other way to go would be go just get the operational stuff, because then they know how they operated the units, and you could have them block out the times when it's open geometry and what units those were.
Well, that would work even better.
And then you guys got your time when the fish passed. You could just overlay it like that if that's an easier, cleaner way to do it. And that way you can get the corner to do some work for you. So... Because I don't know what those guys out in division do anyway. So,
I've worked with Lori before on issues like this, getting flow through the corner collector or the B1 sluiceway, and they can come up with formulas for identifying things. So that I don't think that's a big deal, but I've not done it, and so I'm not comfortable.
You just have to make sure that when you
anything.
put those data together, they have to be under similar circumstances. So if we're trying to tease out open geometry versus within 1%, they have to be under similar unit powerhouse operating conditions. Otherwise, you've got too many other variables.
You're talking about tail race flow conditions.
Well, I'm talking about number of units. Right? Yes, I am. Tail race flow conditions. Yeah, it's not tail race.
If we ignored what you just said, and then we're looking at two treatments, it's you're regrouping fish at different times, going through different turbines, and you're putting them in buckets. Mm-hmm. You've got your bucket for open geometry, your other bucket for lower end of 1%.
So increase your sample.
Now if you're talking about...
It gets messy.
You say now full pool conditions.
Or full power.
So now you've
full
got powerhouse. You have full powerhouse.
Then or you, partial, whatever.
Then now you've similar. Got four buckets.
Right. That's not, that's my concern.
Sizes go down.
You're starting to slice the.
I understand that, but you can without that, without taking those variables out, you're ignoring variables that have a strong influence on your ultimate difference.
Yeah. Do they have an equal influence to the high and low end?
Yeah. Depends on where you were running the units at the time.
So in the case of open geometry, I would guess since we're just doing that. When we have high flows, we're going to have always full power.
We should. Then there,
all the
then
units
would...
running. So there. So then, what you would do is for the within the peak efficiency range, you would probably exclude powerhouse operations with some. If you look at a minimum number of units you want to use to compare, and that would be the way to balance the two buckets.
Yeah, you'd have to see what you have. Just have to see what you have for data. Have you fill up all your buckets and see what you got?
No, I just have to consider.
Put those two groups together, then you go back and you're going to look at flows through B1, and you probably have a flow cutoff because that's going to indicate how many units you got running there.
It will. Yep. I think it's doable. You know, it's doable. I just don't know what. You just can't ignore those variables. That's what I'm saying.
You just want,
the turbine operation data gene.
What's going to use on geometries when we're high end?
Get lower or something like that.
One or two units is going to matter. I'm talking about, you know, half power. Two versus eight.
If we know what the treatments are, then we can populate them with fish.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the way to look at
what the precision might be on the
instrument. It gives you one look, you know, with the fish. That's the best we can do with fish, probably.
Yeah. So that's B1.
Yeah.
The other question, it's B2, looking at, there's some question, I think, from the FGE folks about looking at survival, see if there's, if turbine survival is changing between upper end and mid to low. We know that there's a change in gate well
condition,
but is there compensated?
So if we drop down the midpoint, is that going to make survival equal?
Have we just screwed the turbine survival so poorly that
there's no point in doing
plus
it.
Plus, we got about double the number of fish going through turbines that we do through our wonderful bypass, so it's sensitive.
Yeah.
So why did we build that new JVS?
Good idea, Chuck.
Why did you allow that?
I tried.
I know you did.
It's a safe second, safest route in the dam.
Yep.
Yeah, just can't
get any fish into it now.
Well, it's like I say, the corner collector is the best dam bypass system on the entire Columbia River, but
yeah.
Enough fish in it.
So we're stealing it.
Like about, annoying. Whatever goes to the powerhouse, 70% of those, but most go through the spillway.
You know, we need a BGS. That's what it must be.
No, we don't.
Why not? You know, we're going to run out of stuff to do at Bonneville sooner or later.
So we're going to try next.
It sounds like we have plenty to do.
Yeah, the Bonneville's a mess.
So there's some action items out of here. I don't know if we've captured them or not. I've gone through a lot. If I can see if I can capture them, I'll allocate them. So we need a one pager for the sensitivity study. John's raising his hand there. We need to follow up, and I'd say, John and Brad, if you can tag team this on getting sensor fish this year. 20 of them to do this study at Bonneville. We need to talk, we'll find someone, pull the operations at B1 together for Gene, and we'll send that out to folks as well. So it would be periods when we operate at the best operating point versus periods when we're at the start with in the peak efficiency, and then we'll decide how to narrow that peak efficiency.
Yeah, if you want to take the bottom end out or whatever.
No, I've got, like I said, I've already got discharge through each turbine.
Right.
What I don't know is what other conditions might determine whether or not you were within We're in one
it's
operation.
Just be
tailwater and head.
So it's going to be four, but tailwater.
Or may have more. Yeah.
So another TSP Lori will help us with that.
I think yeah, Jim Keel is developing a curve for that. That'd be one, isn't
well,
he hearing?
That's not so much discharge. That's more of, because the problem is what he's got discharge, but you need to have the head with it to know
but
where
we
that
have,
is.
Well, I've got four
you
bay
should,
elevation,
you have all that.
And I have tailwater.
And you've got
that's
it.
The equation.
But I don't know what the
yeah, Jim Keel was working on that.
Determine
that you might have
to marry that up with
it's
Jim Keel's curve.
Then you might be golden.
And I think you're
the ESP team needs to do that for Gene, I think. I don't know why we can.
Well, I was going to ask you if you wanted to sit down on our next meeting and kind of lay out what your concerns are, what information you would need, and we would provide that for you.
Sure.
Okay.
Glad to come.
We meet every other Tuesday. We just met this past Tuesday.
Okay.
So you got to recruit.
So we have a little time. And you've worked with Lori before. We'll get you on the distribution list to make sure that you're aware of when we meet.
Okay. And she's still talking to you, so.
Well, this is simpler than, I mean, I'm thinking through it. I don't want to waste time. What we really all you need is the curve. And I've asked through FBOM for HTC to get that information to us. It's not really a curve, it's a table. It's a lookup table. That's close enough. It doesn't have to be exact. You know, that's one foot by foot. So I don't know where we are with that, but that can't be a hard thing to come up with.
Jim Keel's working that. I don't know that he'll be able to get that to us until sometime in September, though.
Well, okay. This is additional above and beyond what we paid Gene to do on 32. So I don't want to
be a second.
But
yeah, we may have more for him yet.
September anyway.
Yeah. So don't keep that open.
Well, that's good because we work for food.
Open the
we have hands.
So are we talking about data mining here? We're talking about a new study.
Yeah, this is data mining.
We're not above the best offer. We're not at the best operating point enough time to get that information. We haven't ran that much with those JSATs tags going through there to get that.
We've got to have, tens of thousands of fish through the dam, and so I don't know how many went through B2. The first step is to see how much you were, see when you were there, then look at the fish numbers, and then make
this is exploratory.
That's an off ramp.
Okay.
So,
this is just over what we currently operate with the curve, and then
what could we get out of this?
It's still not going to answer the question of what's the survival going to be at the best operating point.
Yeah.
I don't know where your what your data is set up as right now. I mean, how easy it is to make the inquiries, but what you can do is determine what was within 1% and what was above 1%. Now, we don't need that. We have that. So at least you can go back, and I think probably everything that's not within 1% better be at open geometry, because otherwise it's a violation of fish passage plan, and the judge will get pissed off.
So yes, Gene, it is.
It's all in.
Yeah.
No. So I'm just saying, we're trying to get at this a little bit quicker, and rather than waiting for Jim in September and all that, that if you already have the curves and have everything for within 1% for the flows in the head, that's in the fish passage plan. Mm-hmm. So you can look at that, and you can run your data with that filter and say, okay, what's within, and then whatever's above is probably open geometry. You can just make that assumption without even knowing what it is. And then you can do a comparison with that, and you can do that today. I mean, not today, but now, when you get a chance, without having to wait for anything.
That'd be a starting point.
Yeah.
And then once we actually get the open geometry, we can see how much difference.
We can just see if it's wrong or not, but I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be. It may be a data point you throw out or two.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering is like, because we had what we thought was open geometry, and then we've kind of had what's been operated as open geometry. So that's when we'll have to start playing with
the data. Well, I need somebody to tell me what that discharge cutoff points are.
Yeah, and that's in the fish passage plan. Yeah. That's already there. You have that. You don't need anybody to tell you that. It's already written up. So, by head. You know, for every head level, there's a discharge level for the 1%, within the 1% band. So we're just asking the within band, above band. You've got all the information you need right now to at least look at it and say, geez, there's nothing here or there's something here. And that'll be the first. We can have that by the next fitter week, probably. Speaking to you guys.
How much do we operate above the band?
Yeah, they're kind of busy right now.
I know you guys are busy, but this is coming up too.
I know.
So
this is easy.
I don't know how easy it is. I don't know if you guys have, if it's easy enough to just look at the data and make the inquiry, or if it's, you're still gaining data. So I know that, but it's this band versus that band. How many data points are in? How many data points are out? without even doing the analysis to look at the survival. Just
okay,
to say,
oh, geez,
there's frequency count pretty easily.
There's only two, you know, there's 50 fish here and 50 million here. This doesn't work right now. And then more answer.
We haven't, the data that we're collecting for spring and summer not yet quite ready to do that, but we
gone
look
through
back.
If you can go back, I mean, really, most of that's going to be from
2010 would be.
With 10, did we do any open geometry? I mean, really, it's
I think
all
it was just 11 and 12.
And we might have done like a week in 10.
Oh, is that right? I was talking to Dennis Schwartzman, and I thought he said 2010 and 2011.
No, we did a little bit in 2010, but not a lot. So we did the high flows, we used a little bit, but not much. Not like this year where we ran.
Yeah, we'll have to look at it.
2010 flows were really low early in the season.
Yeah.
That week was probably between the spring and the summer study.
Right. It's just let's look at that. I mean, that's a way to parse the data without worrying about anything else. Just
So we're getting some ideas for developing a one page.
Mike's looking panicked.
Battelle's first priority is to get the performance standard results.
Yes.
And the last year's survival results for us because we want to grow for the comprehensive evaluation in a timely fashion. So I don't want to delay any of that.
We're starting.
So whatever it takes to get this done, but if we have to wait until our next Federer Wig, because we don't want to delay that, that's our priority.
Yeah, our next Federer Wig is when?
October?
You can sleep when you die.
Okay. So in October is, I think I told her, one of the spring results. Is that right?
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Assuming we get the data to Kowalski here pretty quick.
Yeah. You know, you guys got a big crank. You just go over and crank this thing, right? It just spits out the data. There's nothing else to do but crank.
It's easy, but
you've built the machine already, right?
Yeah.
All you do is just push the button.
It's that room full of monkeys they have in the background.
After all these years, come on, it's got to be easy.
So it's so B2 then, low end versus the upper end, low to mid versus upper. I mean, like I said, I think at B2 there's probably 4 years worth of data.
Okay, you're starting to scare me. You guys all sit around and look at the data as it comes in and goes, is that a good thing? I don't know. What do you think? Well, I don't know.
You'll have to come on.
Hold up cards. It's good.
Come visit sometime. We'll show you a little transparency.
I'd like to see that.
It will scare you.
I don't want to see it.
It's actually pretty impressive. Yeah,
I'm assuming it's all canned by now. It's really easy.
It is canned, and it's quite impressive.
Still on the steps.
So the other thing that we wanted to, while we're at it, while we're at it and having this discussion, we talked late last winter, we talked about the spillway, doing something similar to the spillway. And so we wanted to break out... you know, we know that the spillway has the lowest survival, or it's right down there with turbines at Bonneville.
It was.
And,
until 2011.
Yeah.
Then it came back up.
And so we need to, we wanted to try to see if we can break that out. And Gary, you had some specific interest in wanting to, I think
precise
you wanted to,
and accurate data,
yeah.
Bay by bay, flow by flow, level by flow, foot by foot, head by head.
Yeah.
No problem.
Day and night versus night, hour by hour, minute by minute.
I already gave you those numbers.
And it was one.
It was one or zero. I can make a lot up with ones and zeros.
It's a single digit on his hand, but that's all right.
No, I think if we could look at
one in particular.
I'm only kind of half kidding.
I know you are. I know you are.
That's what scares me. What I'm looking at, what I think we want to do is at least maybe you got to combine two bays, three bays, four bays, half the spillway versus the other half.
And that's,
which is the erosion half versus the non-erosion
that's
half. If we can do that, and then flow level is important. So just lumping all the flow levels can mess this up. We can kind of look at least above. I don't think we're ever below a foot. Two, actually.
Should be.
Two foot is what we set at a limit. So we're good there, between 2 foot and whatever we got. But you can look at the high flows, the highest. I don't know, parse it out between 2 foot and above 2 foot, 2 to 3 versus 3 and above. You know, that would be really informative, I think, in getting at Is volume an issue here? Is location an issue? I don't think the heads, you know, I mean, head begets volume, so I don't think that's a big issue there, but you'd have to look, just get the volume through the bay. But tailwater does matter. So, you know, there's the other variable is looking at, so you get location, head, our flow, and tailwater.
And
35
and
feet.
And day nine.
And day nine, which we have had a little bit of look at already, haven't we? With day nine, I think we've got that.
From a
in a general sense.
In general, I don't know if we've, I remember if we had that 2010, did we have day nine break out 2010?
We have day nine books.
Yeah.
But that's pooling everything.
So this is, I'm just parsing it out like six ways there for you. So that's Jesus. You know, but.
Have a couple of fish in each one.
Yeah, I'll have two fish, which is more than one. So you can't get precise estimates. Your precision just went
50 or 0, 50 or 100.
0.0000 to point nine.
Or just nine.
Yeah. But, so we will have to lump some degree, but if we lump too much, then it's just mush.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to have to look at what we can get out of this parsing. We've been a lot of fish going through the dam, so we're talking 3 years of data down the road.
Yeah, this is probably, I think, three.
Yeah. So four. We may, maybe 4 years.
No, I think that first year was released in the afternoon. It was that.
Oh, all the same time of day.
That's okay. Yeah, that was
released right in front of us.
That's not so good.
The problem is we didn't have good tracking that year.
So that's
we're
not so
positive
good.
Where that went.
Right. Okay. So it's the last 3 years. That's a lot of fish. Where the fish mainly go. So we may be able to get an idea of what some of these different variables are showing or giving us. And the idea is to kind of sleuth out what's going on there in terms
of. So you're all right lumping nears at a similar operation?
This is tailwater specific, flow specific. I don't think temperature matters
that
much.
That's what I was just thinking. I think it's probably pretty close.
Pretty close. We've had these last 2 years have been very, very similar in temperature. I mean, down to the degree. The year before, it was a little bit higher by a couple degrees. But
so again, the first step would be. What do we have? What can we look at?
What's kind of groups you make a work.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't do single bays, then
lump bays
every two or three bays.
Lump flows. The idea is to try to get flow split, tailwater split, bay split. Yeah. And how much can we get out of that? How much do we have to lump?
And you just want to see sample sizes.
Yeah, sample sizes and what kind of precision you think. I mean, if we can make an estimate for survival differences. And we obviously get point estimate differences, but what's the precision?
We'll just go with single release models.
Yeah, it's all.
Yeah.
Because it's all relative.
It's all relative. Yeah, we're just trying to see what's bad and what's good, or if nothing matters, if it's just all over the board, then we'll just blow that spillway up and put a hydrocolloid in.
This is another one. This is additional work, obviously, and so. Gene, don't go back to your office and start working on this.
No, go ahead.
I can't. Sikalski's breathing down my neck right now. So.
Yeah, this is a wish list.
Yeah,
for when you can. This is not a.
So at this point, then we'll develop a.
This is behind
a one pager.
Behind the open geometry issue.
Behind.
Yeah, even though I know it's a lot more fish going through there, the question is.
But we're going to.
We're not going to be changing anything.
Well, we're doing the improvements this winter.
Yeah.
So.
And then do we go back and add the 2012 data to it? Because we haven't analyzed that on bay by bay. That's just total project.
Right. So that would be something we would do, just to add the data to it when we have the data. And this might be next year, really.
Well, everything is once you get 2012.
Well, we won't have it bay by bay.
Well, I might say when you. You're not going to be able to do that.
We could, but at least three.
The data is there. We didn't have them do that initially. All we need to know is dam survival.
Yeah.
You guys are going to need this. I already missed the performance standard at Bonneville, so it's time to start over.
Time to ride your car.
We know how to fix the spillway already, Greg.
Lots of concrete.
Concrete. Close the gates.
Close the gates. I can
do that in the control room right now.
Make it perfectly safe.
It's a lot less wind and care if you close the gates.
I can do 2012 and another 2012 year pass. Oh, crap. Work with the water.
Well, on surface flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the top. Over,
this is going to be an overflow weir.
So these three segments we're talking about, powerhouse one, open geometry, powerhouse two, low 1% versus upper 1%, and the spillway. Is that the order of priority to get this work done?
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Yeah. Well, because from a decision point standpoint, that's where we got the decision standpoint.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. And so is there anything else at Bonneville? Given some... So, I mean, as far as data mining goes.
Just a kind of off-the-wall question. Has anybody ever seen pit tag returns from these JSAS fish, some of the earlier studies? And
yes.
Is it possible to look at SARs and try to determine if there's a delayed mortality impact that's differential from what you see in concrete survival?
That's not possible.
It's too low,
I mean, they haven't been able to do that with pit tags in the tens of thousands.
I would say they haven't been able to do that.
Sure,
they've shown it for bypasses.
They can look at it, but you're probably not going to see anything.
It's going to be too small,
right? Yeah. So what kind of numbers, I mean, do they survive at a poorer rate than just pit tag fish because they have the JSATs in them?
Of course they'll die.
I would guess that's true.
Yeah.
Just by the sheer number. But if you're
tight, you know,
just don't get too close to grabbing.
Put in them so far, pretty large.
Right.
Yeah. That's heresy, Gene.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. He's on the same side of the table as yours.
He was starting to reach around Tom and grab you by the neck there.
But nobody's looked at it.
Nobody's looked
at it. But there have been quite a few fish that have returned.
Yeah, I did it up until a couple of years ago. I would just go in and look to see. And there have been returning fish. Do they still have the tag? I don't know.
Right.
You know, we were. But I haven't looked for 2 or 3 years.
But has anybody calculated out what the return rate is?
No.
McMichael showed me the number a while back.
It's he was looking at it too for a while. I'll see if he's...
Yeah, it was over 50 or something.
Quite a bit over 50.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just never assumed that would be a reasonable use of...
Well, there's a lot of variables there.
Yeah,
yeah, you got all the routes and the tag stuff. And like, so see, you got one of them are like from John Day. They've gone through 3 different routes. What do you do with that fish? Yeah. Went through the John Day bypass, went through the spillway at the Downs, and went through the corner collector of Bonneville.
Right.
What do you do with that?
That's true. See, and that's when we did do the analysis to survival for the mouth, and that was a lot of fish. And I don't think we're able to tease out any differences.
Yeah, what does that mean? 18 different combinations or something?
Yeah,
or
something. It's probably messy.
But, like, some Bonneville fish, aren't they released in the Bonneville Forbay, or, you know, I could just use those fish, and that's just a single route of passage.
Yeah. Well, they just got...
You don't know what their prior history was, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's a lot less fish. And you think about it, if you can't see an effect of whatever was thousands of fish, probably, when we did the post... When McMichael did post-Bonneville survival and that analysis of route of passage, then... And you've only got 50 of those fish coming back, or if it's the same 300 coming back, even. I don't know how you'd expect to see it.
Or anything less.
The assumption of relativity is kind of an issue, too, because I don't know. Those tags were designed for no return, so... Mm-hmm. There could be some
differential
biases.
Some turbine or something like that.
We've seen that at after several weeks. You know, then there's an effect.
And I don't know if that you can assume that that's relative across all groups of JSATs tag fish or in all years.
Has the tag got smaller? In fact,
it has, yeah. Fish sizes vary, and the taggers vary, and you know, from year to year we change things. And you'd have to average across years actually to make anything. So.
Where goes that idea?
Well, it's a nice try. I mean, it's something you got to look at.
We've talked about it. It'd be interesting just to see if it was in the ballpark of anything that had ever been put out.
Nothing wrong with looking at yours to see if it's changed because our tag has
got some of the things started smaller
over time.
Better
surgical methods.
Is it something you got back?
I'm going to write it down.
And then you might be able to like tease out just like find out. Is the John Day bypass possibly
as good as
a
spillway
or something like that? Furnace area, you might be able to tease something like that out. And just ignore the other passage histories after that. You might be able to get something like that.
Mm-hmm. Big passage routes.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get turbines.
Yeah. Well,
turbines
going to
get
water.
What's that?
Are you the coordinator ID for the Low River Spill? Yeah,
he's getting all the spillway, so it'd be spillway turbine version.
TRP.
JVF.
TRP.
You know, that's probably, well, you wouldn't have to bump it, you just wouldn't add it.
That's true.
Because you know where they went, so you don't have to do the... Well, yeah, that would be hard. That would be the harder thing to do, is because then you have to go back in there, get the individual JSAT tag out, and say, what route did that tag go through?
Well, we looked at trying to do something a few years ago, is sort by code adults that went out with the JSAT tag, and just try to, you know, X-ray them or something.
Is it in there yet?
Is it still in there?
Is it assisted, ulcerated?
Yeah, those fish have a hump in the back.
They'll encapsulate the tag of tissue and slowly work its way out. And sometimes they don't. It gets encapsulated and it just stays there.
And the rate of that's why, if the pit tag goes with it and they all go out, then your adult return rate could be. Is that variable?
Typically, the pit tag does not, at least in the ones that I've seen.
Okay.
What they did is sometimes they lose the pit tag.
Well, you wouldn't know.
Because they're sort by code.
You the lab stuff that they did. And look at tag expulsion. And, when the tag was bigger, it was expelled more. It was more likely to adhere to the tissue and all that stuff. So,
thermos model, body cavity thing. Okay. Body says, get this out of here.
And then Tom, you brought up, you want route survival at John Day by operation?
Yeah, by 30-40%. Because I saw the report, and you guys had spillway broken out, but it wasn't under 30 versus 40.
So that'll be in the detailed report we're already getting, right? Wouldn't that?
For 12, we did not. For 12, we didn't ask for a detailed
report.
Right,
you're right. It was just year we didn't ask
from
for
a standards only.
Yeah, I think we have to learn that we need more information.
Well, if you want one, we'll be glad to do one.
Sure. You got the data.
Yeah.
Words of the data.
Okay.
I've been doing post hoc analysis on this stuff for 25 years. It's a master plan.
I wonder how much 30 versus 40 how many 30s would it even be?
I know. Well,
30 was like,
I can tell you, in the spring there were three. Yeah.
Awesome. Three
blocks.
Blocks.
Oh, and one of those, I think, occurred after the spring study was done. So,
averaging then.
It's going to be a really precise.
In the big scheme of things, though, one could pick out all the good pairs that we've had over all the year and then look at it 30 versus 40 that way.
I think you're going to have to do that.
But we're only adding 3 points for this year.
Wow. Got to make a decision.
And since the last time we looked at that, we would have added all of the good pairs in 2011. Right? So that would have been maybe five or six more, and three this year, three good pairs potentially. So maybe you got 10 more points than you had last year.
I would
say whatever you're using your best precision.
Or just want to talk to us.
just do single.
What the figure of EPA?
Yeah, so relative to 30 relative to 40. Yeah.
That's just a battle we've had.
Not with her.
So they say we're going to end 30 because we can't. 30 is a little less 5%.
Why not what a minimum is?
George,
what it's good at.
Okay. Any more? Any other data mining or tighter?
Or the difference is really good.
Any other data mining questions that people could think of? Have been thinking of since I sent out the agenda. And asked you to think about it.
We got judges involved.
Well, no? are there any other turbines like that? At other places that are operated at two different levels?
No, not right
that's
now.
Not been done.
Bonneville's the only one. McNary's the one that's on the docket.
But that'll be there. Yeah, we'll be talking about McNary's sometime.
Okay.
Especially with this pleasure gate issue.
Okay, let's move on to John Day configuration.
Yeah, we have a couple of top spillway weirs that we're going to make permanent features. We've just finished up the BECO process. We're going to award a contract here at the part of September. The intent is to construct and install these use permit features next in one work period. What does that mean? We're making the actual TSWs a little lighter, installing a couple of more vertical gates that are easier to use, making adjustments to the crane so that we have basically a load cell on there. A couple of lifting beams. Basically, the intent was to make it a lot easier for the folks out at the project to install and remove these top spillway weirs. So, in short, things moving along. We're looking to, again, award a contract in mid-September, and things moving along.
Kind of a random off-the-wall question. In any of this, has anyone looked at adding tag detection to a TSW?
Tag detection through TSW?
I'm just curious.
That's been our, it's been, we talked about it at Walla Walla.
Flat plate
last week.
Do a flat plate all across the top. You may not get as good of detection efficiency, but it might get you something, and it's something that's a lot easier to work at than digging
Ridges. Ryan's working on that. Ryan Lowry's got some ideas.
Coordinate with Walla, might talk to Walla Walla, just make sure that they're not saying, look, if we ever want to do this, don't do something like this.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Is that something that we're going to pursue in the future?
John Day may not be the location we might do it at. I'm guessing not. But it's just like one of those things, like you're just thinking, like, you know, if it turns out to be something that's fairly cheap and expensive that you could add.
It would be, I mean, if Walla Walla builds a second lower granite weir because of the pit tag detection we're putting into the OG of the RSW, then they could do it. Mm-hmm. They could pioneer that.
Yeah.
You know, but if not, it would be nice to have that.
EPA was in favor of that. I mean, my question is just, what if you still have sort of a certain uncertainty rate, like 85% to 90% detections is what they were seeing in the first experiments, just the way, like, what do you do with that? You know you weren't detecting.
That's okay.
A certain
you just need numbers. Yeah, as long as you can, if you get 10% of the fish that go through an RSW or a TSW, you can do jelly seaver, you know, type survival estimates on that, similar to type estimates.
And assume that it kind of remains constant through time.
Well, I mean, you the jelly seaver, you're recalculating the efficiency and whatever you got at the dam, but you're following that on down. So I think that's.
But you'd have no idea.
What's that?
You have to have multiple antennas in order to determine what your efficiency is.
What's that? It's actually downstream.
You have to have multiple antennas to determine what your efficiency is.
Well, you just need no. You just
no.
Jolly Seabury, you just recalculate that from the.
Well, you'll,
you know.
Well, I mean, I know how it's done, and then that's
I
how
they. Gonna say.
That's how they do it. But you have to have multiple. You can't do it with just one antenna.
Oh no! You got to get them downstream.
Sure,
but you can get them at the JBS downstream.
Doesn't matter what kind of an antenna downstream, you just need to detect them.
You just need detections, and then recalculate.
To calculate your cost efficiency.
Okay. I guess so, I was thinking you've got two detectors, so you don't know if you missed it on this one or this one. That's what I'll say. But the detectors in the bypass are pretty much 100%.
They're 100%, so yeah. They'll give you that ratio of missed to non-missed. You can calculate your population estimate from that, and then you go from there. It's just
and you can establish an efficiency rate for that particular detector in the TSW. As you know, you can put your sample fish across.
It's hard to be a wet blanket, but I don't think the Jolly Seaver would tell you the efficiency of a one detector because all it is going to tell you is how many fish were not detected at that project. But you don't know how many fish went other spillways or through turbines.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know.
Because you're a root efficiency, but not necessarily your
you'd have to do
it's still useful information.
Yeah, you have to do
it. Yeah, you have to know. You have to know it was.
Detection efficiency. So
you have to
have a dual tag where you have tag, acoustic tag fish where you know where they go and have, you know, and then have double
or
tag.
Or if you have two antennas, you can use that.
If you have two antennas, you can do it.
Yeah.
But I think there's some assumptions that get violated there.
Okay. You have two antennas where?
Right next
to each other. Just like they do in the,
far
you know, the pit tag detectors and the bypass system have four coils. So maybe it's not antennas. You need to have multiple coils. that are independent of water, you know, at least space. And so they can, you know, this detector's got four coils in it. They can estimate the efficiency of individual coils by looking at, you know, the number of tags you saw on coil two. How many of those did you see on coil one?
Right.
And so when you have two antennas, this is something I've heard PSMFC complain about with the corn collector, is that they can't do that like they do with the systems because there's only one antenna, and then there's nothing downstream. So they've had to, that's why they've had to go out.
So you can't tell if you missed or went a different route, basically. You take it downstream, you can't tell if you, it's because you missed that fish and it actually went through the corn collector or it went through the spillway or something.
There's ways to do it. Yeah, because I'm trying to think our reach survival estimates are based on just picking up fish on a route. I mean,
but they don't know enough about the route that they went upstream. They just know they went down the reach.
Well, yeah, but anyway, it's
bypass.
Anyway.
It's bypass.
Oh, bypass.
Yeah, I mean, it's all bypass.
Sorry about that. So that's what they detect.
So that, well, we're not planning at John Day to put detection at the PSW.
No.
We're making a permanent design based on what we have out there, and we're awarding it this September. Yeah. So there's no big.
No, all I'm saying is, if you talk to Walla Walla and say, hey, you know, it looks like we can do it, but just don't put this type of thing here or something like that. Except, so if you ever want to, okay, later on, if you ever want to do the reach survival, because that's always been our big problem, is reach survival in the lower river sucks. So if you ever want to be able to get improved reach survival in the lower river.
The estimates.
Yeah, exactly.
Survival is not the estimates.
No, survival is not. Yeah, the estimates are. Problem.
Good, thanks.
But at this point, there is no issue with what I presented.
No, nope. You go forth and
okay. There's all sorts of issues. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, but not with GSWs at least. Yeah. Not a John Day. The Dallas Northeast Fish Ladder. We're looking to start the technical review here the 15th of August. I think you folks have reviewed that document.
Didn't you just send comments?
On which
comments one? On this? On the,
sorry, I'm still going through the Jolly Seaver thing. I don't know.
He's still sucking.
Wait a minute.
I think
he's
lying.
No.
The Dallas AWS is what we're talking about. We've identified a couple of alternatives. We've selected one.
The Dallas.
We're leaning towards one, I should say.
We're on the AWS.
Yes.
Right. Yes, we did send you comments.
Okay.
2nd of May.
Right.
Oh, wow. Well. But we backpedaled quite a bit, so we should, hopefully this isn't an issue.
No. I think we've got a technical review that's going to commence here in August. And, I will say, however, that we've split in terms of our schedule. We were looking to, we wanted to do DDR plans and specs this next FY and then start construction, award a contract for construction at the end of FY13 with the intent of actually going through construction in FY14. We have had some resource issues, had some scheduling issues, so that's going to slip a little bit. So we're looking to award a contract, and Randy, correct me if I'm wrong, you're good. We're looking to award a contract at the end of FY13, at the end of FY14 with construction in the FY15 time period.
You're killing me.
We just got an EDR.
Don't
now.
Do that. I will not retire until this is done.
So
will
I either.
Yeah. Are you sorry?
I was just going to say.
I was thinking 14. Now, damn it.
We'll have a decision by the end of the day.
We'll get back to
the answer period.
Will you give
us time?
You give us time, I will retire, okay?
Well,
it's directly linked.
We're in the same boat here.
That's our objective. Get it done.
I plan to be a pain in the ass until it's done.
How's that? How does that change?
It doesn't.
admittedly, we got a little too aggressive. I got a little too aggressive with the schedule. It hasn't played out the way we had intended, so we've slipped a little bit. But the upshot is, given that we've been working on this for, some 20-odd years, and we're this close to actually making it happen,
yeah.
What we're looking at here at this point now is making sure that we put in a quality product. So we don't want to compromise on that quality. So. Any thoughts, comments?
Spread the fish.
The light of the end of the tunnel. Fish and all fish.
Yeah. It's not a flashlight anymore.
That was a good read.
Okay.
What's the chances of a tornado hitting your house? Well,
for a 10% chance that one of them is going to fail, but only a one did.
Yeah, for sure. Chance they'll both fail at the same time. That's still pretty high.
That's pretty
scary.
All right. So
that's scary too, Don. I don't want that on my watch.
Yeah. So, B2FGE?
Sure.
Okay. We're still, we're incrementally approaching completion of this report. I think we should have that report fully drafted out. I want to say sometime September.
Okay.
The end of September? Is that about right there, Randy?
Yeah.
Incrementally.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been working on this for a while, and it's not like we've been lax or anything like that. I mean, I think that we've been very diligent about our efforts on this. I think the recommendation that the report's going to identify is the idea that we go out and we test, and I think you guys are familiar with this, go out and test that the turbulence reduction device, which, by the way, we're moving forward with that. Gary, you can speak to this a little bit if you want to. We're developing a test plan for that. We would basically instrument the gate wells and get some velocity measurements that we'll incorporate back into the CFD model. I think we're going to do some biological testing as well. We're also going to further the investigation of the flow control device that I know that some of you have championed. We'll do that sometime in the October timeframe. Gary, Randy, can you speak to any of this in more detail?
I think you covered the basics of the testing. I don't know if there's a whole lot more to add unless there are questions.
We've had some concerns with the design.
It's a wonderful design.
Well, there's some issues there.
In all seriousness, what are the issues that you see?
I see two real, I think, serious ones. One is the rubber flap that is in there to keep fish from getting behind the filler. You don't want fish behind this thing. They'll die there.
Correct.
So that rubber flap, if that deforms at all, fish will get behind it. There's no doubt about it. No doubt in my mind. So that can't fail. And that looks like a part that would fail. We're talking about something that's going to be in there for a long time. We're talking two pieces per gate well. And those are going to come in and go out. They're on a guide rail that's fairly close tolerance. And so how practical this is going to be to actually work, considering that to take the STSs out for the monthly inspections, all those are going to come out over and over and over and over and over and over, and over multiple times a year. Are we really being practical in our ability to maintain tolerances with a structure that has to be pulled out, I don't know, nine times a year or something like that? So those are the concerns I have, is are we really being practical here and that this is going to...
Well, is it a practical solution?
Right.
Is it a practical solution? But it's going to be to actual operate, it's going to be problematic.
I mean, it might work great for one test, but can you actually make this work day in, day out, year
and that's,
after year?
You know, that's something we'll have to discuss, you know, in my discussions with the team and addressing fish issues behind the TRD. You know, we've looked at it, and they're putting together the final drawings, and they're doing everything they can to minimize those gaps. Mm-hmm. So those are going to be coming out pretty soon, and we'll have to review and discuss it.
There can't be any fish.
But as far as like the... STS camera inspection equipment, that's going to have to be modified so we don't have to pull the TRDs out.
You can do that?
I don't know. We're going to have to look at that.
Pull the screens up and look at
them. If this is, as we go into the EDR phase, you know, after we collect the data, if it's determined successful, that's something that's going to have to be analyzed. But to pull those in and out, for every STS inspection monthly, it's not doable, I don't think.
I don't know. I've talked with Bob Davidson several times about looking at this in more detail in the model, and even in the 25 model that we have down in Vicksburg. But as far as I know, I don't know if anybody's talked to him about that or got his opinion of the TRDs.
I was going to talk to him, and I need to get back to him.
It hasn't happened, I don't think. And I think that's really important to get his opinion of that. And
And we'll see. We'll see if they work or not. If not, you know, you definitely want to have something else, and I just highly recommend having something else designed, you know, parallel concert with this. VBS, you know, closure type, you know, flow control device type option or something like that. It's easy to put in and take out. Well,
okay. So the operations side, but I think that's, I don't know if that hasn't occurred or not, but the project needs to evaluate all the alternatives and get to weigh in on operability and what is reasonable. I think the focus here is to just fill that biological data gap. Does this solve the hydraulic injury problem? Mm-hmm. Right?
I know. So it has to be practical, or
because
I think there are other ways of skinning this cat, and you know those would resolve the issue, slam dunk. So that's why I'm saying, you know, that the slot fillers would be unnecessary if these other options, if a flow control device, fairly, you know, and it's simplistic in my mind, but a VBS type flow control porosity control. Plates, and we would have to forego the, you know, we'd only have one VBS, and the back plate would be something that's a porosity control plate. Wouldn't be able to, when we clean the VBSs, have two VBS panels in there. I realize that, but that's something we can back off on for that, you know, for the short duration that we're actually doing the cleaning. So, you know, those are the sort of things we have to talk about too, and that's why it'd be good to sit down, you know, we've got our comments, and it'd be good to sit down and talk about that stuff.
Within the flow control device area, there are other, you know, you just mentioned, you know, porosity.
Right.
There's other ones that we've done before.
Right.
So I don't want to use the word another study, but it is another effort in which within that family of flow control that we should also
spend time on that and come up with a preferred alternative of that. The project's opinion is very benign, you know, and it may require us to say, well, you know, there may be some concessions we have to make to the way we clean DBSs, where we may lose some fish to get it, but fine, just to get that, you know, day in, day out protection. I'd rather, you know, okay, so, you know, if we have a few fish go through for an hour or a month, I'm not too worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like if we're going to start this in October, some scoping of what the flow control looks like or some alternative that there needs to happen with you all before then.
I just want to make sure that we don't lose sight of that.
I think we're aware. Yeah.
Maybe it'll work, maybe they'll be great, but even if they are, I can see some problems with them. So, you know, I don't know, that they might work hydraulically great, and then we find out they don't work from a operability standpoint.
Do you want a special fitter wig, or do you want to address this at the next Christmas fitter wig?
We can work it through the fitter wigs, we don't have to have a special one, I don't think. As long as we have a chance to really sit down and talk about it, be ready for it, the discussion. I'd like to have Ed Meyer here as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Grumpy.
So, what's that?
Grumpy.
Yeah. Can you get a new name?
I'm going to get a little that hat for him. He's a sudden dwarf.
So are we comfortable where we are with this project at this point?
Sorry.
We comfortable with where we are at this point?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, I would really encourage you guys to work with Bob Davidson, because the reason I say that, I've said it at many fitter wigs, is that he was the main core hydraulic engineer that worked on, and Randy too, that worked on Gatewell's, you know, BBS's, going way back. So he's got a huge amount of expertise, and I mean, I pulled him aside and talked to him about this, and his opinion is, I hate to speak for him, I'd rather he speak, but his opinion is that these might look like they will have an effect and a benefit, but he didn't see how they could be the solution. So that concerns me, that we have something that's a piecemeal solution, doesn't get us there, and has an operability issue with the project. May keep us from actually being able to keep things clean and operating out there as we would need to. So that's what concerns me. And so these may be an interesting thing. They may work well, but may not be something we can actually make work day in, day out.
I'll just remind the group, you're part of the reason why we're doing this, it's a proof of concept, basically.
I know.
And if the concept works,
I just don't want to put all our eggs in the basket. And that's, I feel sometimes like the Corps is putting all their eggs in this basket, kind of ignoring the flow control side of this and just saying, I hope this works, and, you know, year after year we're going down the track of the TRDs, and then we get there and it's like, not going to work. Now we've got several years. You know, this FGE issue is a problem. You know, we fought over this all spring, first part of the summer. So it's not going to go away. We've got a NEPPOM committee that's going to meet next week. We've already met a couple times. It's very contentious. I've never seen people get so heated as over this particular issue and these meetings. And so, and I want to make sure that Dave doesn't keeps a lot, and Tom too.
Hopefully, you know, I'm always happy.
Yeah, well, that last O&M meeting, my gosh, you guys are—I never seen you so red faced. That concerns me. I don't want to see regional people be that red faced over anything. So I'd like to see this resolved. And the resolution to it is to fix the problem in the Gatewell. It's all there is to it.
So let me just restate what our objectives are over the short term here, and make sure that we understand and we're clear. We're going to go out and prove it, test this concept, okay? And at the same time, we're also going to investigate flow control devices. And we'll have a better idea of where we stand, most definitely sometime this year.
This fall?
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's all. I just want to make sure we're on that parallel track. That's really what I'm after. No problem with what you're doing, but let's keep on that parallel track because it may be where we end up.
So, thoughts, questions, concerns on that? Randy, Gary?
I'm okay.
You know, we've talked a little bit about the schedule in the past, but just to remind everybody, you know, we're looking at March 4th through the 20th, having EDA 14 down for installation.
Okay.
So, and then Gary, you know, right after that would follow up with, you know, velocity measurements in Gatewell, and I believe that was 8 days, is that correct?
Yeah, that's roughly what happened there now. It's 8 days. We have some options in there to collect more data while we're here, but yeah, the bulk of it's going to be that 8-day window to get out of the way and do fish testing.
So are you going to bury the head and then turn it over during that period?
We're still developing that. We've been working with the contractor to say, hey, we're going to go these 8 days or at least 6 tests like this. So the project coordination is still to come.
I guess where I'm not okay with this whole thing at this point in time is that rubber flap issue and making sure we don't get fish behind the TRDs. We need to have a discussion.
Yeah.
I want Ed Meyer involved in that discussion about, you know, just how sure we are that especially the top flap. The bottom one seems to be not a problem. It's the top one, but that doesn't deflect under a mold and we end up with a bunch of fish in there. Because the last thing you want to do is pull a thing out and have a whole bunch of dead fish behind it.
Yeah, we can, you know, once the final drawings come out, we can set up a special fitter, whatever we need.
I think
to discuss
that
it.
Might be worthwhile.
And, you know, the engineers, you know, they have samples of the rubber. You know, we can take a look at it and discuss it. In discussions with them, you know, as far as the flexibility and the structural capability, you know, the properties of the rubber. Minimizing those gaps, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the gaps I'm not so worried about is the flexion of that. You've already minimized the gaps on that. I don't see any problem with fish. They're not going to go around those rails. They're not going to go through the bottom because you're sitting on the STS framework. The top, though, as far as I can tell, is just a rubber, potentially flappable rubber flap. And with nothing but water and fish above it because this thing doesn't go to the surface. So that, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. That area, I just want assurances from your structural engineers that that thing will not deform and allow fish to go accumulate back in there. And it's not so much for the test, but we need to have a plan for long term, too. And if this is the best we can come up with,
yeah,
that's the long term. Mm-hmm. And that could be the real problem. A month of running, and then you pull it out there, and you've got a whole bunch of dead fish in there. That's
with the in and out tests. You know, we'll be able to pull it up and look, which will be nice.
Yeah, you'll be able to see. But I don't want to get to the point where we actually see something. Let's at least try to assure ourselves that we've got the best structural materials fixed that we possibly can get for that particular problem.
Well, I think John said it, once we have these drawings, it would not be a bad idea if we got together and just, you know, did one more.
Bring in some of the material that you're going to use, and we'll talk about that.
And make sure we're all comfortable as we move forward.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I guess I agree with George. I mean, this is a proof of concept first. And then if it even works, then if you need to design some better material or something, then you pursue that. It sounds like you're trying to do the final project right now, and I don't think we're there yet.
Well, there's other things to consider, you know, the way the guides are built on the, you know, the spot itself. You know, you could do something with the guides and minimize.
But I agree with Gary too. Yeah, if this is going to be a real costly thing compared to other things, and it's just going to be one headache after another, then we need to be looking at other.
I just want to make sure that the options that we have going forward. Yeah. I don't want to build something and then make the decision to do this and not have a workable solution in the future.
I might be speaking out of turn because I'm not really on the TRD team, but Dave, you're right. You know, I think, and Gary, you've seen us how we developed prototypes for the BBSs and whatnot and went through. We start with a concept like what we're doing here, but in the end, we end up with a more detailed, you know, modeling in terms of BBS that we have out there now. We did more modeling, more details, got into the O&M issues, got into addressing those at what we call, I'm not sure if it's going to go this way, George, but like the DDR stage, where we start to look at the details of, from the prototype, what we learned from the prototype to improve. It might be, for instance, the seal. Yeah, there's an issue, and then, you know, kind of work those details. I'm not saying that's exactly it, but it's an example of what Dave, following up on what Dave has said, that's the way as a person who does the design part, it gets into the more, gets into that detail, not only on the design end, but also on the other ends, of the important ends of the O&M, the costs, how we're going to manage and do these things. So you're right, Dave. I think you kind of hit it. That's just me as an outside.
I just want to see this go on for years.
Well, right. That's my point. You don't want to go down that rabbit hole and just not have something else because you can't wait
that's
for years.
Answer.
But at the same time, if, you know, we got something else, you know, kind of working in the same. For instance, the flow control device example, you know, following that same path or procedure with, you know, we still prototype. I'm assuming we still do that type of process. So the details would come out of it, based upon the evaluations and how what they come up with. But you know, it's kind of like at the prototype stage. And,
I know, but I mean, the design review that we're doing is that part of that process.
Right.
If I can't see an endpoint, then that concerns me. If I can see an endpoint, then I'm not concerned. And with flow control device, I don't know that I can see an endpoint because I haven't seen any ideas yet. But I think I can, and I think it's a design that could be really easy to use and do work and maintain that project. So, and it would work. But it may cut back on fish guidance efficiency. That's the problem, which is already piss poor anyway, so who cares?
So can we agree then that we'll get together once we have drawings in place, and I'm thinking sometime in the late August, early September time frame, have a special meeting?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Late August?
Yeah, not late August. That's okay. So much going on in August already. We got that AFEP or the SRWG review.
We could do it at the next Fitterway.
Yeah.
October 4th.
Okay. We could do that or September?
Or September. Yeah.
I'll let John coordinate that.
Yeah, sometime in September. We've got that Erdic trip, and forget that week, the 17th of September.
Well, folks, that's all I had.
Well, that's a lot.
B2 orifices? Oh, it's just a quick update on the orifice lighting. You know, basically, it's proof of concept there as well. We're looking to get the McNary light, and it's a 12.5-inch diameter light, so it might marry up really nicely with our orifices, and make it lower profile if we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
that'd be good.
But the guide structure, you know, as far as fish testing is concerned, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
yeah, we're just moving forward with that.
So what else on the MG or on the orifices? Any other?
The 100% report is due soon.
Yeah, it's just been due sometime. I would say at the end of August, sometime early September.
100% alternatives report.
Or the the orifice study.
Which chooses an alternative, which we don't have yet. So does that choose an alternative, or is that just an alternative that lays them out? Do you have
it lays out basically a tiered approach to dealing with the orifices. You know, there's, I'm trying to remember what, primarily, you know, with an orifice light, depending on how well that works through testing and what we learn there, you know, there might be some opportunity to shape the jet with the light structure itself, you know, provide air support to the base of the jet through some type of check valve in the light tube, and then, you know, with the lighting itself, having it shine inwards into the orifice tube, we should increase our inspection capability.
Where do we leave that last? It seems like it's another one we're kind of backing up on a bit. Yeah, that's...
We left off with the need to have a perfectly clean jet, you know, per the original scope, you know, was at the bottom tier when we were considering going down to a 12-inch orifice due to adult impacts. So that's, you know, as we move through progression in trying to improve it, that's near the one of the last things we should look at.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember what we said in our letter, which was months ago now, our memo.
But I think that's basically what you said.
We did say, yeah, we were kind of taking a different track at the end of it all because of all the problems that we're coming up with at the first ideas that we kind of changed our opinion on what to say.
I thought we were agreeing on doing a new four-bay side orifice ring, redoing that with the same, maybe not reducing the size.
No, we said do not reduce the size of the orifice.
We're going to go with a lighted ring. We're not reducing the size of the jet characteristics of it.
We're trying to figure out how we can engineer that ring to make that jet spring off there better. Yeah. And it might have to do with degradation of the ring. You know, Mark and I talked about that a little bit. You know, it's in the water for so long. It eventually wears out and you don't have a nice clean edge to spring off of anymore. Might entrain air more readily.
It's gonna be rounded.
You know, there's the thing about the poor jet is there's some threshold in there that we're really close to, because some of them are good and some of them are bad. And as we see unit operations go down, for instance, and gatewell hydraulics change, you know, we get observations in B and C slots we've had, you know, at lower unit operations where we get good jets where we never have them. And so I think there's a gatewell hydraulic influence, you know, the ring itself potentially, the air demand around the ring, the length of the tube. So there's a bunch of things there that if you pick away at them, make improvements to, you might clean it up.
I think the document shows that it's not very cost effective to increase the size of the channel side ring, which kind of seems like it would improve things if you could make that bigger, make your gates bigger and everything. There's less chance you're going to impact that channel side ring, but that seems to me like a good path to go. I just think the cost, because you have to go through
it's a massive cost, it's
and everything.
I think that cost of replacing all those actuators.
We had a recommendation there that was a compromise recommendation. I cannot for the life of me remember what it was now.
The compromise was improve the inspection capability, but don't minimize the ring size due to adult impact. And we're going to improve the inspection capability by having that lighted ring.
That was the looking
illuminate,
down tube.
and being able to look down the tube. You know, we're not going to bake on that scale anymore with the halogen lights, so we should be able to look in there.
I think that was it. Yeah.
So we're going to live with a non-ring jet, though. That's the thing. That's the hard part to swallow.
Yeah. But we'll be able to see if there's a plug or not.
Yeah.
Which is the
main issue.
It was my understanding at that special fitter wig. We were in agreement that we were willing to not live with the perfectly clean jet.
My only issue, though, with the non-clean jet is the fact that fish could be impacting that inner ring as they're coming in, if that's what's disturbing
that
that's
possible,
jet.
But, you know, when we operate at the lower end of the 1% and the, you know,
survival. We get down to the small monitoring facility when we do that, you know, back looking at 2004 data prior to, you know, FG improvements, and that, you know, we have the same actuators at that time and survival down there versus now lower 1% versus upper 1%. You know, we see substantial improvement in survival, and it's fine. And it's considered okay. So by not changing the actuator, I don't think that's the, there's a tipping point there.
It's just a debris issue then.
I think it comes down to that recommendation that we made. If we're okay with that, then this thing will probably be fairly easy to do. Mm-hmm. And not that expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was the light ring, the potential for cleaning up the jet a little bit with the light ring, plus improving gatewell passage, and then being able to actually
get better inspection
at the ring, the outside ring, to see if there was a problem with it. Oh, and to be able to push the button and actually back flush it.
Do the cycling.
Cycling is very hard to do right now. I mean, I check them when I'm out there, even though I'm not supposed to touch anything, but I do sometimes. And yeah, I operate
the numbers, but the project will go haywire in access. There's some O&M that needs to be part of that system.
You know, you need some
winter maintenance help.
There's some problems. Some of them don't work. And they're not consistent.
But Andy Trailer's got that on the list, right, Andy? Andy?
Andy's coaching.
I'll make sure he's
writing it down right now.
Is there anybody out there? Well, at least they don't. You know, they're not going to kick me off the project tomorrow for what I said today.
It's all right. It's unrecorded.
So what did we agree on?
She's already called.
Yeah.
Specifically on this, what did we agree to?
I think what our letter, what our memo on this one was, kind of offering a sort of a compromise direction to get this done. And I'd like to see a response on that, you know, if you think that that's what you're going to do, or are you going to...
We haven't sent a formal response to that, but our 100% report captures all of it.
Yeah, I figured it would. Yeah. We haven't had that discussion, really. Matt was here last month, or last meeting, so I missed that. And that letter came out before the meeting for that, so we haven't had a discussion of that particular topic since we sent the memo to you guys. So I didn't know where you were, you know, if you're going to accept that and go. I mean, that's a lot cheaper solution than going in there and trying to get something done. My concern was that we were going to end up with a solution that we would never do. That was my concern. And so to actually get something that would move forward, at least get at most of the problem, there's some compromises there. So that's offering you guys that out.
So where we are is we're going to test TRD like you mentioned earlier, and then we're also going to put the light ring out here as well.
Right. So that's part of it, and then the rest of it is just the tube inspection tube once we get past the need for the current lights, and how that would work out. I don't know. That's
check,
an engineering
the check
thing.
Valves and providing air support.
You don't want stuff flying up, you know, but you want to just be able to look in there and see what you got, and then you want to be able to push a button and back flush that thing while you're looking. That's all. And so at every one of those orifices, there's already air, there's already a lever. Some work, some don't. Fix that system so you just, operator or inspector just pushes the button, gone, it's done.
In terms of prototype, John, does that sound like what we're doing?
Yeah, that's basically what the report's laying out.
Okay, good. And then I think we have something that works. That'll get us past this issue. And it should be fairly inexpensive, really, I think.
Yeah. The rings, depending on where you went with that long term, if you had them on the outside, you know, had them accessible from the deck, there's a lot of advantages to that, you know, as far as operations and maintenance of the project. You can actually run the wire through the STS power conduit into the 72 gallery. Mm-hmm. You know, it's totally doable. So.
Yeah. So I just think that touch the schedules.
Okay. John, let's connect, make sure that we're contractually we can do that. So, unless there's anything else, that's pretty much all I have.
Yeah. George.
What a patient guy.
Okay. Well, that's the end of the agenda. Is there anything else that's not on here that we need to talk about?
So what time is it?
I don't have any idea.
Lunchtime.
Okay.
What time is it?
And I'm waiting for my phone is on.
11:55.
11:55, so you guys are Fitterwig and Portland District's done in the morning, and Walla Walla takes the entire day.
So we're just asking.
You guys just don't have much to do, do you?
Do you want us to present more material, PowerPoint slides? Do you want to stretch this out?
Well, that would sound good. We just get into that. You guys
We would be happy to bring you guys.
Right, Bill? Sure you want it?
Yeah, no, I read through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is on the FPOM website.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But I,